Hey, kids, how would you like to hear this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm 22 years old. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm 22 years old.
Y'all, you think you can be the next American Idol, man?
I got confidence. I mean, you're my first, my last, my everything, and the answer to all my dreams. You're my sun, my moon, my guiding star, my God, the wonderful. That's what you want.
Elijah, can I ask you a question? Have you ever seen this show?
Hey, if I wanted to know about American Idol, I would watch American Idol. Shut the up and go back to being not funny in a different way than talking about this retarded show.
And now...
You're not wrong. You're just maybe less... then right.
Our feature presentation.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. I'm sure you heard it yesterday morning, but in case you didn't, we talked to the Vice President Dick Cheney as... wish I could remember our president's name.
Barack Obama? President Obama?
Come on. Really?
Wow. That's shocking
that,
even to
that
me.
That happened?
Yeah. That happened yesterday.
So...
yep.
He had not been in the news enough for you to be familiar with his unusual African name? Is that what it was?
We'd been watching it all morning.
Yes, we did. We watched his speech.
Shocking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's really a bummer.
It worries you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I had a moment the other day where I couldn't remember the password to my cell phone for like an hour. And I thought, oh, dear God.
You're turning into me.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're both going to be in a home in 5 years.
Nobody wants to be me. That's not fun.
No.
It was terrifying,
really,
wasn't it, Lisa?
Yes. No. I'm like, should I get that Alzheimer's test? What's going on?
By the way, we're going to take your calls on Kevin's Alzheimer's or the inauguration or anything that's going on at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, Wednesday morning edition of What to Do Nephew coming up in just a minute. By the way, speaking of our president, our alleged president, our so-called president, I'm not all that impressed with him so far. I mean...
What has he done? Right.
I thought we were electing a guy who was going to do the hard work of the American people. All I've seen so far is, hey, let's go to parties.
Yeah, you know he does party a lot so far.
It seems to me like since he's been in office, it's been nothing but taking his wife out dancing. And I don't know that that's what the country needs right now.
I hear you, bud.
Maybe he's trying to, huh?
I don't know. I was going to say brother or buddy or something.
I hear you, bud.
Just in a hurry and try to save some time.
We got things to do.
Oh, this is so funny. Lisa spent too much time with me. That's the problem.
I may have to leave to save myself.
She's losing everything she ever had.
You've been wanting to rub off on her for a long time.
Yes, I have.
Now you're doing it.
Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning. It's the 21st of January.
Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
The stupidest intern we've ever had, Blinky, did not see fit to fax me information in time to tell you what the prize is this morning for Kevin Beans' What to Do Nephew.
But the good news is he took it away from me so that he could not fax you with it.
So neither one of us has it, but it has something to do with cars, I think.
Okay.
And Saturday.
So please enjoy, won't you? 1-800-520-1067. Speaking of the inaugural festivities yesterday, let's talk to Ted in Woodland Hills. He's on line 2 on the Kevin Beans Show. Hey, Ted, what it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
I just have a comment. I was watching the inauguration, and I thought that Aretha Franklin was going to choke on a chicken leg. She just sounded so, excuse me, she's a wonderful singer, but she just looked so fat, first of all, with that ridiculous hat.
No, that was a great hat.
She's fat without the hat, though, but the hat didn't do her any favors. I mean, if she was trying to call attention away from her fat, it didn't work.
Exactly. And then when she was singing, there was a couple points. I thought there may have been a chicken bone stuck in her throat. It was just a great, beautiful song. I just thought that she didn't pull it off, even though she was, or I guess you could say she is still a great singer. But
she used to be, you know, like a living legend, but it's been a while, I think, since she's been that good again. I mean, you can hear all the pounds coming through her voice, and that doesn't help.
You know, it was weird. It's so funny you bring that up, Ted, because when she walked up to the podium yesterday to sing, and it took a long time because you know how tough it is to turn around an ocean liner. But I was looking for where she stashed food under the chair because while she was singing, you got to give her this credit. She was not eating, and that may have been the only time all day she wasn't.
Probably.
Yeah. That was not good.
Not impressive.
Nope. You know, I wonder if the cold had anything to do with that. I heard that...
with her being fat?
Yes. I heard that...
Just to put on extra
weight.
Because
she has to insulate, mm-hmm. You know. But I heard that some of the kids in the band that were there practiced from Hawaii actually put their instruments in the freezer and then would take them out and play them because it really is different when it's so cold. Hmm. So they were trying to practice to acclimate to that.
Do you think her voice was somehow
maybe
affected
a little
by
bit, the yeah. cold.
It was like 15 or something there with the wind chill.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
bad. Cold.
And by the way, the other thing that was weird about yesterday, and I don't remember it being like this in previous inaugurations, is they're starting to turn it more into a TV show rather than a government event.
They are?
Didn't it look like that to you when they
it looked terrible.
Musicians coming out and playing and stuff and Aretha Franklin singing? I don't ever remember them having a musical opening act before like that. It's always just the, you know, the U.S. military band playing or something.
Well, you know, the difference
yes,
is we don't watch
yeah,
being
don't really,
you watch. That's the first one I think I've watched.
Don't really pay attention.
I mean technically, they were running late yesterday. The president was sworn in late because they had, you know, that mini concert with Yo-Yo Ma. I mean, it's just weird that they're starting to pack in musical entertainment.
Yeah, interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're putting on a TV show, though, because it was boring.
Compared to usual, though, they definitely stepped it up. By the way, the most interesting tidbit of the whole day that they mentioned yesterday was that there is no swearing in required to become president. You don't need to be sworn in. You automatically become president at noon on inauguration day.
Oh, really?
So while he was sitting there listening to Yo-Yo Ma play, he became the U.S. president, which is interesting. I guess that's just something they do for ceremony.
Who knew?
Well, now we know.
All right, let's go to George in Los Angeles. Good morning, George. What'd it do?
Yo, what'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boom?
What'd it do?
What's going on?
You guys said Jay Cox-Moore's coming in. Is that what I heard?
Yep, uh-huh. Yep.
Uh-huh. He really took his wife's name?
He did.
A tool. Yeah. Hey, can you guys ask him his thoughts on Sarah Jessica Parker when he comes in?
Why in particular?
He's setting us up, I think, right?
Well, he guest hosts Jim Rome sporadically once in a while.
I know it. Yes,
last time he was in, he was getting mad at the listeners for calling Sarah Jessica Parker ugly, and he went on his whole rant how she's hot, and if you were Matthew Broderick's buddy when he was coming over, the first thing you would ask is if Sarah's coming over. It was ridiculous.
Is he possibly thinking of somebody else? Like maybe he was thinking of Marissa Miller.
I'm hoping.
Well, we'll ask him.
Well, some of the people are saying that he's worried he might have to do some work with her in the future on a movie or something. So he's kind of playing it cool, but I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous. So maybe ask him about that.
All right.
Look, I love Jay, and he's a great guest on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're always excited to have him. But I'm worried that we're losing him. I'm worried. It does kind of seem like an intervention is necessary with some of the crazy stuff that's going on with this guy. Maybe he's been taking his Tracy Morgan impressions to heart, and he's turning into Tracy Morgan. Maybe that's what's happening.
We can only hope. Let's go to Adrian in Los Angeles. Good morning, Adrian.
Hey, good morning, guys. What did you do, nephew? What did you do, baby boo?
What did you do?
What's going on?
Yeah, I was just watching Bourne last weekend, and I paid attention to a lot of the movies. And the Odette Yasmin, the girl on the main movie.
Odette Yasmin, yes.
Yeah, and I think Psycho Mike will appreciate this. You can see some serious action going on in the one scene in the bathroom where she's looking back at the mirror, and then they do like a full body shot of her, and you can see... You know, what's going on in the lower part?
Really?
Yeah.
Because that was one of my pet peeves, is that kind of movie. You know, the understanding is there's going to be at least some partial nudity in a movie like
little
that.
Little TNA.
That's always
it usually
part of it.
Is.
And she was in the shower once, and then she was in her underwear once, but I don't remember seeing that part. I'm going to have to go back.
Yeah, you can see some serious moose knuckle going on.
Yeah. Okay. So no T, no A, but some V is what you're telling us.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, check it out. Well, I just this minute, while you were speaking, put that on my Netflix for whenever it comes out on DVD, because that sounds like a frame-by-frame situation.
Oh, dear God. let's go to Chewy in Long Beach. Good morning, Chewy.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Chewy.
What's happening?
Hey, you know what? I just seen the new Playboy came out, the 55th anniversary year and all that stuff. And
you expect something real cool and hot, and it's Carmen Electra on the cover again.
Yeah?
I mean, nothing against Carmen Electra, but is that the best we can do in 2009? Hasn't she been on the cover for 20 years?
Yeah. I mean, she's been in it a lot, but I don't have any complaints about
her. Yeah, she still looks great.
I think she looks pretty...
Her body looks good. Check out her face. And I know, believe me, in Playboy, look at her face. Check out her face in a couple of the shots. And I got one thing to say. Didn't she bang Dennis Rodman? Isn't he like a 6'10" black guy? How enticing can that be to me?
What? Like, what's the point of even going there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Chew.
But are you on the verge of having to make a decision either way whether you're going to go there?
Well, you know, she called me and I didn't
sure.
call back.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right. Because you don't want to follow Dennis Rodman. I got you. Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call.
I think what Chewy is saying is that it's we should remember her the way she was. It's time for her to step aside and let younger women have the honor. I think that's what he's
saying. I think she still looks fine.
I do, too.
You guys are out of your mind. We can't have too many pictures. Always start from scratch and do it again. That's
right.
What I say.
I agree.
So we don't get in trouble for not mentioning, by the way, all the callers on today's Kevin and Bean What to Do Nephew have won a pair of tickets to the NHRA Winter Nationals coming up on Sunday, February 8th at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
Jay Moore?
Yes.
Jay Coxmore?
Jay Coxmore.
Will be in the studio with us. Highlights of American Idol?
Yeah.
Nope. Nope. No, that girl is not.
So.
She's not going through.
I'm afraid she's
no.
Never seeing her in Hollywood. I'm
that's
afraid so.
Not the case.
Hilarious.
I just think I don't care how she sings. That's got to be a deal breaker, right? You
wow.
got to say I don't want any. I don't want to risk the fact that she could
right.
become a star.
You have the voice of an angel, and yet no is what
exactly.
they should say.
Yes.
Do you want to know the day you're going to die?
No.
Yes, I do.
Why would you want to know?
King of Mexico goes to Unborn. Very excited about that.
Oh, okay.
Jorge Garcia is on the program today. He, of course, is Hurley on Lost.
Love him.
Lost is finally back tonight.
Remember when that show was on in the 90s? That was good.
Yeah, barely.
I think it's a reunion show. I think they were able to get most of the original cast members back together.
Is that right? Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. You're fat.
Oh.
Oh, hey.
Take it easy. So that's coming up. Plus, don't forget, you can qualify for Kirok's World Tour 2009. Destination number one is a chance to see U2 in London. You win the new CD, you get on the standby boarding list, and we will tell you when to call for that coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbizby. 106.7 Kirok is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
Good morning, Ralph. Garman, how are you today?
I could not be better. Everything in the world is perfect.
Wow.
Wow.
All the planets have aligned. All the stars are where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
God's in his green heaven looking down on us.
Based on who's not in the Super Bowl this year, I'm very surprised to hear you say that today.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I do not speak of those things.
Good news.
But all I know is yesterday,
yes,
my spectacularly handsome mailman brought me a little package. And inside that package, therein lie.
Yes. Yeah.
The slap chop. Suck it!
Oh!
I was chopping everything yesterday. Chopping things that didn't even need to be chopped.
Do you make a big salad like
that? I was eating so much more salad now, because you know how pain in the ass it is to make salad.
I normally don't make salad because otherwise. It's so difficult.
Yeah. Well, not with the slap chop, my friend.
Hmm.
And wait till you see my nuts.
Rather not.
I was able to put peanuts in there and cashews and boom, chopped nuts.
Ralph,
nuts.
Ralph's a sucker for all of the as-seen-on-TV products.
I prefer to think of myself as an enthusiast.
Okay.
As an infomercial enthusiast.
Sure.
And I got to tell you, Slap Chop is as advertised. And if you buy the Slap Chop, they throw in for free, mind you, the Grady.
What's the Grady?
The Grady
is a similarly designed cheese grater. It's the Grady. You know how tough it is to when you're grating cheese for your Parmesan, for your pasta or whatnot? You got to use that big honking metal cheese grater. Sometimes your knuckles scrape up against it when you get
so
down
tough.
Towards the end of the cheese block
so
there.
So what does the Grady do?
They put the cheese in the Grady, Lisa. Grated cheese.
Really?
Boom.
God, wow. I might have to get one.
Got
to
get the Grady.
Damn it.
It does sound good.
The Grady and the Slap Chop together? An unbeatable combination,
those two things are going to be in your closet someplace for life.
Tell that to my wife yesterday. She made some fresh salsa for our tacos.
How many
tell that to her.
How many different meals did you have yesterday just because you had this slap shop?
17,
40, 45.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Slap chop.
All right.
Slap chop makes the world better. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Make you happy.
All right.
Didn't have that slap chop under Bush, did you?
Nope, exactly.
It's an all new world now, man.
Under a president. Wait a minute. President.
What's this guy's name?
What's that guy's name?
You know the guy who was on the TV yesterday.
I can't think of it. I just can't. Can't come up
with it. What's
wrong
with you guys?
Kevin, who are we thinking out here?
Obama.
Do you remember?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's right. That's what I was about.
Just go to Kevin when we need that name, because it's right at his fingertips.
It is. I do have that.
Suck showbiz, shall we? Bad, bad news coming out of the set of Desperate Housewives. Marcia Cross, who stars in that show, has announced that her husband, stockbroker Tom Mahoney, has been diagnosed with cancer and is currently undergoing treatment.
Wow, they haven't been together that long.
Just 2.5 years.
And twins.
And they got the twins, right?
Yeah.
23-month-old fraternal twins, Eden and Savannah.
What a shame.
And apparently he's responding well to treatment, but still, cancer blows. I've had an ass full of cancer, quite frankly.
You really? Don't want that.
Yeah, across the board. I just think, all right, enough with the cancer. Haven't we really
Stop
lived,
it already.
Haven't we lived long enough with that scourge hanging over our shoulder?
Can we just decide it needs to go away?
I think someone should look into it, all at right. least.
Maybe we should raise some money.
Seems as if people aren't really doing much to get rid of it. How about applying a little brain power to that problem, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of cancer.
Maybe the slap chop.
That slap chop will get cancer out of you, I'm sure. Evangeline Lilly, of course, has lost returning to the airwaves this week. However, she's already announced that she's got another full-time gig lined up when her show Lost comes to an end in 2010. She says that writing is actually her first and foremost passion, and acting will no longer be a priority once she's left Lost. She's
really?
Going to dedicate all her time to writing.
No kidding.
No.
What?
.com. Yeah. By the way, when you look like Evangeline Lilly, just put the pen down and get your ass in front of a camera as often as possible, because we need that. We need you out there just looking great. And we haven't really seen Evangeline Lilly acting looking spectacular.
Mm-mm.
All we get is greasy hair washed up on the shore, Evangeline Lilly.
Which is pretty good.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Have you ever seen her doing a photo shoot where she's made up wearing a blousy gown with wind blowing through her hair? You know she's got better things coming in the future.
Yeah.
And sitting behind a word processor is not one of them.
That's bullshit.
She seems like one of those actresses who has never been prepared for or enjoyed the celebrity part of the acting. She doesn't seem to like to play that at all.
What are you judging that on, Bean?
Well, just based on where was she from? Canada?
Small town in Canada. Yeah. Just based on the interviews I've seen where she just doesn't seem to enjoy that part of it, doesn't like to really do interviews or get her picture taken, or she doesn't show up at anything.
We're not asking her to enjoy it.
Well, the thing is, a lot of the Lost cast tends not to show up at Hollywood events and stuff because they are pretty much sequestered on
in Hawaii when they're filming.
Working.
But I'm saying in the months in between, you know, she just seems super, super low-key. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're just being arbitrary and making that up.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
I don't get that sense about her at all. She seems well-adjusted and spectacular. I know you guys, in a couple minutes, we'll be talking about whether you want to know when you're going to die or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's another topic in this latest interview with Brad Pitt, who has talked about how he wants to go.
How he wants to go?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course, everyone talking about life and death with Brad because he is still publicizing his movie, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, which deals with those issues. And at 45 years old, he says he recognizes that the end is probably closer than the beginning. But he has no fear of meeting death, he says. He is a little worried, however, how it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he does not want to die in a fire or anything involving a tight space. Instead, he'd prefer to go by shark attack.
Shark attack?
Yeah.
Those are his only two options.
Shark attack does seem better than fire. Don't get me wrong. Yeah.
I don't know.
But,
Yeah,
it's better. Fire's got to be
better
the worst.
Than fire.
Gotta be
fire
the worst.
I guess, but
and
shark.
He shares my fear of suffocating in a tight space. That for me would just
would be
hell on earth.
Why not just
speaking of tight spaces
why not just die in the saddle? I mean, he's got that option.
He doesn't even ride horses. I've seen the guy's place. He doesn't even own horses. Why do you think he's going to die in the saddle?
Good point, Ralph.
He's not a cowboy, for God's sakes. And this is great. This is the best. This makes me happy. In a new book, Oprah Winfrey's ex-boyfriend claims that one of their favorite activities while they were dating was smoking crack.
What?
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
God. Dude.
He claims they were smoking crack together as recently as 1984 while she was filming her TV show.
Whoa! Whoa!
They'd come home and have a romantic evening of just sucking on a glass pipe.
All right now.
Good times.
She will have a comment about that or no?
I don't know.
I'm doubting it.
But it explains why she likes Dr. Phil so much. Smoked a lot of crack, you see. I heard that Oprah Winfrey was caught with smuggling 50 pounds of crack under her dress one day.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm. That's a fat joke right there.
Okay, that wins.
And Amy Fisher is coming back into our public consciousness.
Amy Fisher.
Coming back for another pass at 15 more minutes of fame. Jeez. For the Long Island Lolita. You remember her. She was the one who was in love with that charming mechanic.
Yeah. Never has more been done for a worse guy.
Joey Buttafuoco.
Joey Buttafuoco.
Yeah.
Fell in love with Joey and then paid a little visit to Joey's wife and gave her a gift of a bullet in her face.
Yeah.
She went to jail for a while. When she got out, she wrote a book. Mm-hmm. That didn't seem to take off. She was trying to sell her own reality show. She had it on for a little while. That didn't do so well.
Made
so
a sex tape, I think.
Sex tape, that's right. And now she is moving into the high-class world of pornography.
You think it's going well?
No.
Really?
Amy has a new pay-per-view special coming soon called Amy Fisher Nude Exposed and on TV. Which, by the way, is Dick Clark's new special coming
out,
too.
It is? Really?
So, yeah, so you check that out.
I don't think I'm very interested in that.
Amy wants to make it clear that she will only be having sex with other females in the special. Her husband put his foot down when it came to co-starring with a man because he said that would be cheating.
He's quite a man.
I am rigid.
All right, honey, go do porn for money, but no kielbasa for you.
Hmm.
Wow.
Hmm.
No, please.
No, please is right.
However, have you seen the highlights for the Kelly, whatever her name is, and the Miss USA, the former Miss USA?
Oh, yeah.
Who was a star on Passions, the soap opera, for many years, and now she's doing porn?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a milfage right there. That's a milfage.
Good
right
stuff.
Yeah, some good stuff. So... Lord giveth, Lord taketh away when it comes to porn.
She seems enthusiastic
she
about her
seems
new job, too.
Way into it.
Yeah.
Well, in all the interviews, she's saying, look, I like to act, and I love having sex, and this is the best of both worlds for me, really.
Excellent.
It's going to throw me, though, to see good acting in a porn. That's going to be hard for me to adjust to.
Let's wait and see.
Well, she's a pretty good actress.
If you ever saw her on Passions, I don't know that you...
Yeah, she was pretty good on Passions.
Really?
Yeah, I thought she was pretty good.
I never got that show. I never got the Cult of Passions.
Because it's crazy. It's like campy, fun, hilarious soap opera, which you don't get.
You know that.
I know. You don't enjoy lighthearted. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ooh. Sheesh.
Bad day.
Slim day. Emma Bunton, who was known as Baby Spice, or as Dave, the King of Mexico, wrote down here for me, Babby Spice.
Yeah.
B-A-B-B-Y Spice.
She was cute.
She is 33
years
old.
She is a babby,
today.
Though. That is
she
true.
She is way babby. Singer Cat Power is 37.
Ooh. Okay.
I believe Cat also has a fine line of bulldozers and other farm equipment, Cat Power.
That's the same person.
She is 37. And Gina Davis, Oscar-winning actress, who I defy you to find today.
I don't know that I'd give her a bell, by the way.
I think
Gina was bell-worthy in her day.
Is it still her day?
As she celebrates her 53rd birthday today, I think the bell may have been rescinded by the committee.
She's the president of the United States, guys. Give her a little respect. Oh,
yep. Nope. Lost the bell.
Lost the bell. Sorry. It's tough under the new administration. The bells are going to be harder to come by.
I guess so.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Highlights from last night's American Idol coming up in about 30 minutes.
Wow.
Was that enough to make you never want to watch the show ever?
Yes. Was that after they told her she went through?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they should have changed their minds right there.
It's kind of hard to take it back.
Sorry, did we say you're going through? I'm sorry. What we meant was no.
Would have been nice if you could have gone through.
Exactly. Plus, don't forget this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, you win the brand new U2 CD called No Line on the Horizon coming out in March. And you're on the standby boarding list for a grand prize drawing we do Monday to send you to London to see the band U2 on the Brit Awards. All of that this morning from the world famous K-Rock.
We were talking a little while back about this 23andMe, which is a way of kind of testing your genes to see if you're likely to have certain,
predisposed of certain diseases.
Yeah, yes. And Ralph called.
Have you sent yours off yet, by the way?
I have not, actually.
I have not sent mine. I'm going to do that this week, though. I'm very excited about it. And there are some people who would not want to know what diseases they may be likely to encounter later in life.
Ralph called it the test of death. And we said, why would you feel that way? And he said, I don't want to know. I'm going to be looking over my shoulder all the time. I wouldn't want to know. And then that, of course, sparked the conversation of, would you want to know when you were going to die? If you could find out a date and time, not even if you could find out how, but just find out when, would you want to know? And I think a lot of us said yes just because we were thinking if it's next week, you know, run up your credit card, screw off work, whatever.
It's so funny that that's what occurs to you, because what occurs to me is if it's next week, I'm so depressed and sad, I couldn't have any fun. I'd have more fun not knowing.
So you'd say no.
If I don't want to know.
If you could find out the day and time.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
I don't think I'd want to know.
You would not want to know. I bet you wouldn't be able to not find out.
I bet if you had an envelope sitting at home on your table that you knew had the date on it.
Oh, interesting.
I think it would torture you. Like, all right, let me just look. Tomorrow!
Oh, no.
it would definitely screw with you, and you would definitely spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to avoid it.
Yes.
Even though the rules of this particular game are that you can't. You're going to die, even if you decide to just stay in bed that day. Somehow you're going to die anyway. But you would try to figure out a way, no matter how much time you have, you wouldn't be happy with it as that date drew closer. Lisa is right about that. If you knew you were going to die, you would start to focus more on the dwindling time you have left.
But wouldn't that be good? I mean, if you were going to die, say, a month from now, wouldn't you want to know that so that you could see friends that you want to see family that you want to see, or not see family that you don't want to see? You know, however you want to work it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there is that. Sort of getting together with family and friends and stuff like that.
Seems like a pretty big deal.
That would be good.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were talking about, like, running up credit card, traveling.
Yeah.
I don't think...
You don't?
If I had a month to live, I'm not going to India, for God's sakes.
I would start drinking, and I wouldn't know where I'd end up. That's just the way it works anyway. But
we're going to take your calls on whether you'd want to know the date you're going to die and why at 1-800-520-1067. But Lisa, what if your whole life you'd wanted to go to India?
Right.
And now you realize I'm going to die in a year. I've always wanted to go to India. That's something I'd like to see, the Taj Mahal at sunrise before I die. Why wouldn't you take advantage of that?
I guess if I had a year, I mean, we were talking about the time frame. So you said a week. It's like I'm not going to go travel for a week. But maybe if I had a year, I would go do that. I don't know. Travel's tough.
Yeah, but
if you went first class.
But the chances are that you're going to not die for 50, 60 years. So you go, all right, well, then I'll
get
find
around
out.
To it.
No, I'm saying that's probably the chance. I mean, the chances that you're going to die in a week are pretty slim. So you'd think, well, you know, I guess I'll check it.
Because I'm not looking. You can't make me look.
40 or 50 years. You would look.
I'm not.
You would look.
I'm not looking.
You would.
I think you would, too. I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, like Kevin said, the chances are you've got at least 40 years.
Right.
Right? So,
yeah, forever.
Or not.
But you do. But probably you will.
Or not.
But probably you will is what I'm saying.
But maybe not is
right.
what I'm saying.
But the odds are overwhelmingly positive that it'll be another 40 or 50 years. So you go, oh, all right.
No. Not looking.
But then you wouldn't have to worry about dying for 40 or 50 years. If you found out the date, then that thought is out of your mind.
I don't even like to think about dying.
Think about
it! I'm in denial. I'm not ever dying.
All right.
What about guys you want to bang, Lisa, that are out there that you
please,
know you want to bang?
I do that now.
But
that's
you
good
could
point.
Really step it up, though, if you knew you already had a year.
She acts like she only has a year in the sex department anyway, so
that's true.
And I wouldn't have to worry about STDs, because really.
She's got that covered.
Whatever.
It's not your problem. Right. I can't see where Lisa is coming from on this one. I can't see the downside to knowing, because it's not like knowing hastens your death. You're going to die on that date anyway, the way this is laid out. So
right.
Why not be able to use that information or not? Look, if you want to open the card, see when it is, and then ignore it and live life exactly as you're living it now, you have that option.
But you couldn't do that.
But you can't. It's not like it has to be the focus of your life, is what I'm saying. You can still do things the way you want them to do, or you can adjust the time that you've got left to do things you want to do.
Yeah, I don't know, Ralph.
Lisa's absolutely right.
Thank you, Ralph.
Would ruin the time you have left.
Of course.
Yeah.
But why? It doesn't have to ruin the time you.
You
have.
Know, you
Dilweed
don't really
every day. Read the card and then just put it out of your mind.
What's his name?
He's Dilweed.
Isn't every day more precious if you've only got a year left? Don't you enjoy
it? Hallmark card. No. You know, and if you have the nagging doubt, you have the nagging fact in the back of your head that's constantly present. Of well,
I know my kids will be 20. I won't see them see 21 because I know I'll be dead then.
Yeah, I'd just be crying all the time.
I'll be dead before they are able to have a drink with me. I'll be dead before they graduate high school. I'll be dead before I see them get married. I'll just
so
be
whatever
dead.
It is you would focus on.
Sure, yeah, you just can't help but project and think in the future of what you're not going to be able to do. That's human nature.
But chances are 40, 50 years, so then you go, all right, I don't have to worry.
What if it's 10 years?
Well, but it isn't for
he
most
keeps
people.
Assuming it's not.
I assume
it could be.
What if it's like, yeah, if you live a nice long healthy natural life, that's the way it'll be. But what if it's like, no, sorry, car accident.
But that would be such a small percentage of people that you would go, hey,
how many people do you have in your life, you know, who are taken just like that overnight, gone? I've lost several friends like
that.
You just got a call the next day. It's like, oh, they hit a tree. Mm. Boom.
Yeah, I think I would need to know.
You can't possibly enjoy your life to the fullest when you know.
Kevin is okay because he would forget.
How dare you? He wouldn't even know he was going to die.
I can't remember the date. Get on the phone.
Where's that card?
I may not die. I think I'm pretty sure I'm not going to die. That's what Kevin comes down to.
Let me add on to something you just said about the people dead. Because I've had two people that I know pretty well, younger than I am, who have died in the last year.
Okay, there you go.
And I think
at your hands.
And I think both of them would have appreciated that information because they would have been able to do things differently in their last remaining years or months.
The only thing you're going to do differently is worry. That's the only thing it's going to add to your last remaining years and months.
You're going to ruin the time you have.
Right.
That's because
everything that's motivating you to do something else is coming from a negative place. You're saying, well, I have to do that because I'm going to be dead soon. So you're focusing on that as the motivation for anything you do beyond that fact.
And let's say it is 5 years. You still have to make a living if it's 5 years out.
Right,
so
right.
There are things you have to
can't
do.
Can't just quit and go to Aruba and sit on a beach and then 3 months you're out of cash and you're eating out of a dumpster. That's a nice way to spend your remaining 4 years.
Steal alcohol with Amy Winehouse.
Exactly. Crawling from bar to bar.
Why is it I have to do that because I'm going to die rather than I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to do that because I know how long I'm going to live? Why isn't that reverse true?
Hey, because Mr. Sunshine, you do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
You know, positive Bean is.
Oh,
Bean
yeah,
is,
what the hell?
Is always looking at the bright side of things.
It's annoying sometimes how positive he is.
Oh, it's always with a silver lining in those dark clouds. Because it's human nature. I know if I have a bad dental appointment coming up next week, it just weighs on my mind with dread. I know I have to get that root canal in 10 days.
And
I just
but you don't. If you're dying on Valentine's Day, you don't have to get that root canal done.
But no, you said you just have to die.
You know what
that's
I think
all you have to do in a week is die.
You know what I think it is your view of things. If it's super pessimistic, like you guys think, the first thing you think is a week. I think 40, 50 years, and that's kind of what I would expect.
And then if
so,
it
I don't
wasn't?
Mind looking. Well, I'd start drinking. I don't, you know. But I think I would want to know just based on the fact that it's chances are I'm going to live a long life.
But if it's 40, 50 years, then what difference does it make? Why do you need to know? What difference is it really going to make?
It's not going to make that much of a difference now, but it is going to make a difference, and you can start planning it out when it starts to get a little bit closer.
But see, that's what I'm saying. It only really matters if it's close. And when it's close, then you become consumed with the fact that you know it's coming.
Let's go to Chris.
If it's 40 or 50 years, it doesn't matter because we all feel, without even looking at the magic card, that we're going to die in 40 or 50 years,
and
right?
And by the way, when you're 80, you know you're going to die pretty soon.
Right.
So you don't need a card
so we don't
to
need the
you.
Magic card. You should live your life like you know you're going to die and do the things you want to do and should do anyway without having to know.
So start drinking, Kevin.
Chris and Claremont, good morning.
For once, I agree with Kevin.
Oh.
Ralph, you're completely missing the point.
What's the point?
Have you ever seen the movie Big Fish? That guy knew when he was going to die, and that guy lived the coolest life because he knew he could survive anything.
Yeah, that was a movie, dude.
He saw the movie, Ralph.
Okay, well,
he also had friends who were like circus freaks and giants and magical fairies and stuff. Is that the life you think everyone's going to lead when they know they're going to die?
I would.
You enormous dork.
All those people were real at the end. But look at, you can skydive. You can go bungee jumping. You don't have to worry
can do
about
that anyway. Dying. Can do it. If you want to do that, you can do that anyway without
but
knowing you're going to die.
But he's saying you could do it knowing you're not going to die.
Right. You can jump out of that plane and know that the parachute was going to work because you know it's not your day to die.
Right. You can survive anything.
You're Claire now all of a sudden.
Well, I'm not
heroes.
Exactly not doing those things because I'm afraid I'm going to die. I just don't really want to do those things.
Well, that's different.
But you know? Also, like Kevin said that, okay, you're focusing on 1 week or 1 month, but what if it is 40 or 50 years? When you're 40 years old or 50 years old, you're not counting down, okay, I have 30 more years to live. That sucks. If you know you got 40 or 50 years to live, you know you can survive anything up until that point, and you're going to have so much fun living your life.
This is scaring me that a listener is taking my side, but I like it.
I'm saying if the assumption is you're going to have 40, 50 years anyway, then why don't you just live your life like that? Like you
there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. You're assuming you have 40 years, but you don't know that you won't get cancer and die in three.
Right.
That's but all. With the card, you do know that you're not going to get cancer and die in three. That's all we're saying.
Well, I hope you get that card, Chris. Because if you don't, you're screwed.
We need to take a brief break, but we do have some terrific calls with some different perspectives. 1-800-520-1067. Do you want to know the day you're going to die, especially if it's today? We'll take your calls after this on camera.
It's Kevin and the glass half full at 6:28.
Life is wonderful, and every day should be filled to the brim.
That's what I'm famous for.
Dean's the most negative person that we've ever met in all of our lives.
He's the guy when you ask him to do something. You hear the long, mournful sigh over the phone.
Yeah. But I'm also being pragmatic when I say I love information. I love knowing stuff. And I would want to know when I was going to die because it would shape the decisions that
it
I
would
make
not
between now and whenever
a thing
that
you
day
did.
Is.
You wouldn't do a thing differently. You want to know just because you need information. You wouldn't alter one thing.
Of course I would.
If there was an envelope on the table and it had information and you didn't even know what the information was, we could give you $1 million. You could keep your hands off it.
We don't have much time here, but let's talk to Leo.
I would continue my vigorous life of living on an island watching sheep.
He's on line two on the Kevin Bean Show. Leo joins us on Would You Want to Know the Date You're Going to Die? Leo, what say you?
No, I agree with Ralph. The one thing we all have to do alone is die, and it would consume you. It would take over everything.
Hmm.
And they always say the key to a happy life is to live in the present, is to not think about the future, not dwell on the past, but deal with what you're dealing with right here and right now. How could you do that knowing your impending doom?
Let me ask you this, Ralph. Isn't there any kind of unfinished business that you think people might want to attend to? They've had an argument with a friend or they're estranged from a relative that would make them feel better dying knowing that they picked up the phone and made that call to make things right.
Yeah, that'd be a great conversation. That would really satisfy a lot of urges when you made that call and said, hey, Bill, you know, I'm sorry we had it because I'm going to die soon. I'm dying next week. So, all right, good times. Thanks, man.
A lot of people would want to be able to do that, though, is what I'm saying.
It's an individual choice. I don't happen to have any of those issues in my life, and I see my family all the time. So what am I going to do? Go over there and then we'll just sit and look at each other. Yeah, I really love you. Yeah, I really
all the
love
things
you.
People are saying you would do if you knew you were going to die, you should be doing anyway without that knowledge.
Yeah, but you don't. Most people don't.
Well, then
I would think, except for B.
Of course, he's got his life all his ducks in a row. Of course,
I'm living the dream.
Let's go to Coco in Los Angeles. Good morning, Coco.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, I would want to know because I have little kids, and I would love to live my life the fullest with them.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, just make sure that they are aware that, you know, I'm going to be gone.
But you are going
to
be gone.
Break the news to the kids as soon as possible.
You just bum them out every day you're alive.
No.
Kids, clean up the table. Your mom's going to be gone in a week.
You're going to miss me when I'm dead, you kids.
You need to know that I'm going to be gone.
Oh, you would torture those poor children.
See, this is why no one should know because people like her exist.
I need to decide where I'm going to send them, who they're going to stay with.
No, Coco should not know. We're going to make the decision for you, Coco.
Coco, do some favor. Make those plans anyway without knowing.
I will.
All right. That's a good point. Yeah. You should, yeah.
I do know when Coco's going to die, and I'm not going to tell her. How about that? How do you guys feel about that? All right. Let's try Liana in Simi Valley. She's on line six on the Kevin Bean Show. By the way, highlights from last night's American Idol in San Francisco coming up in a minute. Liana, what do you think about this, the day you're going to die situation?
I wouldn't want to know. I have a 3-year-old little boy, and I would not dream of knowing that I was going to be leaving him.
But wait, you wouldn't spend every day torturing him like Coco?
No, absolutely not. My dad died of a heart disease, and they gave him 2 weeks, and he outlived it by 2.5 years, but it still didn't make it any easier when he actually died.
Yeah.
So really, it's just going to hurt everybody else that you know, knowing that you're going to die. I would dwell on it too much.
But let's say there were an envelope in your house on your counter that had that information. You would be able to not look at it.
No, I would not look at it. Not look at it.
Burn that envelope. Burn it, I say.
Just thinking that.
You know what? No, it would actually it would sit there where I would still be able to see it just knowing, you know, I could look, but...
No, but then every time you get like a head cold, you go, this could be it. I better check.
Well,
you know what?
It's not even like that, though, because, you know, eventually everybody's going to die. I mean, there's... You know,
of course, but that's way, way, way off in the future, and you don't have to think about it.
Or not.
Much. Yeah, or not, exactly. Who's to say that it isn't going to be in an hour in 2 weeks? You never know.
If just it's in an hour, I want to know so I don't spend 1 minute of that next hour listening to Doc's news. I mean, come on, people, use your heads.
I'm just saying,
out of the 60 minutes we have left, do you want to spend one listening to Doc, or would you rather do something else with the
if
time
you know you have
had
an hour left, that hour is going to be filled with just dread. You're just watching the clock.
If it's an hour, it's going to be filled with masturbation, and you guys all know that.
That's true. All right, let's talk to Jason. One last call in Huntington Park. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, man.
By the way, not sex with his wife being mentioned, by the way. Just masturbation.
That's happened.
Good point.
Yeah. Just him and the farmer's almanac.
He's just going to give up on sex altogether. And
just facts and some lotion. That's how Bean's going out.
Enough. Why make it any worse for her?
Jason, what do you think?
Hey, am I the only one thinking that if it's 40 years out, I'm going to get rich playing Russian roulette with a 45?
Oh, there you go.
Can you not alter it? I mean, if it says 40 years, that's where you're not going to go.
Yeah.
You put a gun to your head and pull the trigger, you're not going to die.
Jump off a cliff, you'll be fine.
I would think so, yeah.
Now
you have some effed up fantasy world.
You can win a lot of cash that way. I'm with Jason.
By the way, Jason, so you're going to spend your life watching other people die so you can get rich? Isn't that how you play Russian roulette?
Yeah.
Yes.
Till somebody goes. Till somebody loses.
Yeah, but it's not going to be you.
Well, yeah. You won't have nightmares.
No, that's a good life filled with corpses.
Bleeding out of the head, littered around a table at a bar while you pick up $25.
That's quite the way to fulfill your last days for the next 40 years. That's how you're going to live your life.
You're only going to get $40 for Russian roulette? That's not very much payoff.
Well, because you have to do it in Taiwan.
You have to find some a-hole who's going to play with you, first of all.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Jason, you're the final word on that. I think we're with you. We're coming to that game. You hear that music and you just want to run and hide, don't you? You want to open the envelope and have the day of your death be 1 minute from right now, so you don't have to hear about last night's American Idol, right?
I like the bad contestants, but I can't watch, you know, an hour or two of it.
It's fun.
I like the recap. But
I can TiVo it and fast forward through a little
bit of it. That's very important.
Yeah.
They're still in the bad. They're still, in fact, they were in San Francisco on last night's episode. Mercifully, by the way, it was only an hour, which was 2 hours last week. But mercifully, it was just an hour. And they only let through 12 people out of the 10,000 that showed up to audition. So there were a lot of bad singers.
Wow,
First up, we meet the beautiful Tatiana, who's not as beautiful as she thinks she is, but she is not suffering from a crisis of confidence, that's for sure.
I know that I deserve to be the next American Idol more than anyone. I'm a full-time singer, a musician, a songwriter, a writer, assistant director, model, film actor, and I live for what I do.
You think she has enough things going on that she claims to be, by the way?
I'm guessing she doesn't do any of that.
She may do it, but she doesn't do it well.
I mean, really, she probably does nothing.
She spends a lot of time looking at the camera and blowing kisses and trying to be hot, and she just is not as hot as she thinks she is.
You saw a psychic before you came? Is that right?
I have a friend of mine who's a psychic. She is one of the world's most powerful psychics, who told me that I was definitely going to make it on the top 12.
She's one of the world's most powerful psychics, you guys.
Do they measure that? I didn't know they got a rating.
They have a contest.
Yeah. I don't know.
She's Donald Trump. Everything is the best ever, ever, ever. She's just an exaggerator.
I have such trouble with people who say, I deserve to be, too. Yeah. It's not about deserving. It's like you either earn it or you don't.
But
you're good enough or you're not.
She's got the talent. Listen, Lisa, she can do it.
And she hasn't been wrong so far, so I'm hoping that is true. I just love her because I love her.
A lot of that going on.
Stop making that noise.
She needs to be with that Hugh Hefner's ex, whoever.
Wow.
I can't think of her.
Kendra.
Oh, my God.
Well, Tatiana, believe it or not, actually did get through, and you can imagine how excited she was to get the news that she's advancing to Hollywood.
I'm going to Hollywood.
Honestly. Make it stop.
Make it stop, exactly.
She was a good singer?
She was okay. There was a great deal of conversation between the judges as to whether to let her go through or not. And believe it or not, her personality is what put them over the top on her. She was an okay singer, but they thought that she had some good qualities that would make it entertaining. I know. Believe me. I would have not only voted no, I would have probably shot her.
Put her down.
All right. Nick is 17. He's from Antelope Valley. I'm not sure why a guy like Nick waits all day long for hours in the sun to audition if this is what you're going to sound like when you get in front of the judges.
Your mother,
your mother.
That was all Nick had for us.
Look, beatboxers sing, okay? Really, you got to choose. I don't know many people that can make that happen. Wasn't there a contestant recently that beatboxed?
Last season.
Blake Lewis from Seattle, who did quite a bit of beatboxing, and you see where his career went after.
Well, but I'm saying maybe that's why this guy went, I can do that.
Yeah, maybe. Here's Jio, and it took me a while to even realize what song she was trying to sing.
Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Wow.
She was not advanced.
Nope.
Here's Dalton. Dalton is 18 years old. This is the first time he's ever sung in front of people. And you'd think a guy like that would be nervous and it would show in his voice, but I'm telling you, he's dynamic.
I did you wrong. My heart went out to play. But in the game, I lost you. What a price to pay. I'm crying. Ooh, ooh, baby, baby.
Not so much luck for Dalton either. He did not advance. Okay, here's the centerpiece of the program last night. This year, they're showing fewer contestants and spending a little bit more time with them. We get to know our contestants. This is Akina, who showed up last night.
Akina.
She is trying to learn how to be a singer by reading about it, by learning about how the human voice is transmitted, how the throat works, how the diaphragm works. She basically brought in a bunch of paperwork that would teach her how to sing, and let's see how effective that is for her.
Orgio, Fargio, Farligio. I'm Akila Askew Goldstein.
I've never seen anyone show up with that type of a folder.
I have a list of how to train a gospel singer to superior horns. Glossal irritation.
Compromise the muscles of the quadrilateral.
The helium of the left lung.
The range and regulations and finding a head tone.
And this is right out of health class.
No, this is off of the internet.
What? So she brought in the paperwork so it would remind her of that stuff?
So she could read all about it. So before she stepped in to do her audition in front of the judges, she would know how to breathe and how to sing and how to learn. And it's not helping her at all. And she has a lot of trouble with some of the words that are involved in describing the parts of the body you use to sing.
I like to sing the gospel song, so I actually have a printout of how to train a gospel singer.
That is a trachea if I've ever heard one.
The trachea.
Okay, now she's about to get into a big discussion / argument with Ryan over the trachea, which is apparently her favorite part.
Trachea.
The trachea, right.
The larynx.
Larynx.
Your larynx. Just let me say I'm saying the word larynx, which is located right here in the lodge.
It's the trachea.
You want to see the picture? Trachea is located right along the trachea.
It's the trachea, right?
Wow, I thought it was the trachea.
Yeah, it's not the larynx. It's not the trachea.
Oh, I love her.
So you're saying that she didn't learn any of this before she went and stood in line?
You
and
could
then,
just no, read she, it and learn to
sing. She thought
she
would speed read it and learn to sing?
Yeah, she would print it out on the internet and then she would know scientifically how to sing well and that would push her through. And then, of course, she gets in front of the judges and here's what she sounds like doing little Aretha Franklin.
But you're the key to my peace of mind, because you make... please, no, I did not.
Akila, I don't think we can do any more songs.
Please, just one more, please.
No.
I want to sing the same song over. I came from the wrong rectum.
And I want to go to France.
Oh, rectum.
Yes. She wants to sing again. She sang from the wrong rectum. Is what she said. I think she may have been thinking of the sternum, or I don't know what, but she's a little bit confused.
She's one of the few people, though, that sang so bad she shocked herself.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Like, she stopped herself before they could.
Needless to say, Miss Akila did not step by.
Oh, I love her.
Let's do one more. She's from San Francisco. Annie is 28, and it just seems like, again, you wait in line all day long, and this is your big moment to get in front of the judges. I don't know. It just seems like maybe you ought to be a little better prepared than Annie was.
Annie Murdoch.
Yes.
You play instruments, play violin, piano. You love to scat like Ella.
Yeah.
Good. What are you going to sing?
I could sing something like Bonnie Raitt's.
Yes.
Bonnie Raitt song. let's see, which one should I do? I guess I could start with
Any of them?
Can I do Summertime?
I don't care.
just sing. She didn't even have a song picked out?
No, she didn't. She was shocked that they were asking her to pick a song to sing in front of the judges after she'd waited in line all day.
Wow.
Well, let's see how Annie did.
Fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Your mama's mom.
Oh
wow, honey. Okay, so that was like so overdone. Really? You think so?
Okay.
Really?
we really do think so.
You think so?
They're in, I believe, Louisville, Kentucky tonight. They're actually doing the auditions at Churchill Downs, where the Kentucky Derby is. So,
this is so great.
That's some supremely bad talent, right?
Yes,
there.
Yes, indeed.
It sure the hell is.
Thank you, Lisa. It is 6:56 now, and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Jay Moore's a lover. That's all I got to tell you.
He's a loudmouth. That's what
he's
I'm going to tell
in,
you.
He's hugging. He's kissing. Always a lot of love when Jay Moore shows
tap,
up.
Tap, tap, tap. I'm on the air, dude.
I'm sorry. I just came in guns blazing.
I know.
Hi, sweetheart.
Let's get this out of the way so we can get to Jay Moore. Okay. What do you say?
All right.
A little showbiz news.
I love it.
TMZ's got a great story this morning. Jessica Alba. She considers herself
smart,
quite the political pundit.
Yeah.
She has her own blog, you know, her own politics
she
blog.
She does?
No.
Yes. And while in D.C. the other day for the inauguration, she was interviewing people for her blog. Did Omar send you this little piece of tape?
He's going to play it, yeah.
Great story about her interviewing a journalist who's trying to interview her initially about what she's doing at the inauguration, what her take is on the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
She flips it and wants to interview him for his blog, so he agrees.
She's okay. So crafty.
So she's got a little digital camera, and she's asking him the following question, and he's uncomfortable giving a personal response because he's working as a journalist. He's trying to remain impartial,
right?
Neutral. And she thinks he's not being neutral enough, and please enjoy.
What do you believe is Barack's greatest characteristic going into office?
Well, I'm a journalist, so I probably shouldn't answer that. But,
I'll admit he's a great public speaker. You can't answer.
I'll admit
about
he's a good public
president
speaker.
Of the United States.
No, I'm a journalist.
So
I'm a journalist, though.
I can. He thinks Barack's greatest character.
I think he's a great public speaker.
Be neutral.
I think he's a great public
speaker. Be Sweden about it.
Yeah, be Sweden about it.
Be Sweden about it!
You know how Sweden is famous for their neutrality.
That's what
you know,
they're known for.
Sweden stayed out of World War II, you know. They're famous for that. You got to be Sweden about things.
Wow. They want to get their chocolates or what Sweden's famous for.
You do.
Yeah.
What color is that chick?
Jessica? I don't think the boys down the lab have figured that out yet. They're still working on the DNA.
She's a little of this, a little of that, part greyhound.
She's a
little Dalmatian thrown in there, some Pomeranian on the mother's side.
She's got a nice mocha color about her, though. I like
she's
her.
Got a nice mocha color. Go on, Ralph.
Dice Man's back.
He's back.
Yeah.
They love you.
She's sound down, is what Jessica Alba is.
Yeah, I don't think I need to get her
it
take
sounded
on
like
politics.
She was mad at first because he wouldn't give his opinion, and then she turned on him because
yes.
he did.
Yes.
Who was the guy?
Just some random journalist from...
Who's in D.C.?
Some network who was doing a story on celebrities at the inauguration.
So wow. She's in D.C. doing all this? Or
yes,
she,
in D.C. Yeah, she showed up for the real deal.
Eddie Murphy?
He effing won?
Former Miss USA and soap actress is turning to pornography. God bless her. Her name is Kelly McCarty. You Passions fans may know her from her several years on that soap opera. But now she's decided to leave soap operas for porn.
That should be the choice of more people, I think.
I enjoy acting and I really like sex, so this is the perfect opportunity to combine two of my passions.
Could she not get a job anymore?
Correct.
Was that the problem?
Yeah, I guess the role of Beth on her soap opera had been killed off.
Oh, okay.
And so now she's...
I wanted to do this.
Looking to make a few bucks by...
Yeah, but is she
going to
do real
time?
Porn or is it going to be like girl, Lifetime Channel
this
porn?
This is real porn. This is Vivid Entertainment presents...
But they all wear condoms in Vivid.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
That's not even real porn. I mean, you
sorry,
could, you know...
It's not real
That's like
porn.
Not even cheating. You could say, I never touched her.
It's either bareback or nothing for Jay Moore.
Exactly.
God bless
I want dirty people doing dirty things in dirty places.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now that Jay has changed his name, he's one step closer to porn as well, by the way, which I'm looking forward to talking to after the news.
Bad news for Shia LaBeouf. He managed to dodge the DUI charge after his accident in July, but yesterday...
Too bad we can't dodge Shia LaBeouf. Sorry, I'm done.
Yesterday...
We're fans of his on this show, by the way.
He
you
stinks.
Like Shia?
I think he's a good actor.
I don't
actor.
Think he's a bad actor.
I really do.
Well, he's not... Is he good?
No.
Yes, he's
really
good.
Yeah. You watch him and go, like,
I saw him in Disturbia, good. He was good. I saw him in Eagle Eye, he was good.
Well, then I take it back. I'm sorry, Bean.
I thought he was pretty good in the okay. Indiana Jones, the last Indiana Jones movie. Not a great movie, but I thought he was okay.
You know what? Come this on, is Ralph's time. I'm sorry.
Right. Have a heart.
Where's Catherine McPhee, man?
Anyway, he had his license pulled. He is not allowed to drive for a year.
He should get into a porno movie accident. With that other girl.
Yes, he should do.
That's not all he'd pull.
Shia LaBeouf would be his porn name.
That accident, Ralph. Somebody ran a light and hit him, though.
I like your shirt when you do back in the Swedish Navy. He's talking the second mic.
I said he should have a baguette coming with that shirt on the beret.
Yeah, he looks like he's swabbing the deck in the Tom and Jerry cartoon.
I got this shirt for
however you want to spin it. It's
French,
cool.
French photographer.
Really?
Yeah. And then you're wearing it today for what reason?
You knew I'd be here. Sometimes the comedy gods fall in your lap.
Accentuates my pipes.
Anyway, Shia got his license pulled because he refused to take a test on scene for
I thought you were allowed to say no.
No, it's an admission of guilt.
Really? Yeah. I did not know that.
Refused a chemical test on scene.
<Silent. laughs> No.
So they took his license for a year, so he's going to need a ride. If anyone lives near Shia, maybe you want to give him a hand.
You guys seem to love him enough.
Yeah, we should.
I'll give him a ride.
Bunch of kiss asses.
I'll give him a ride. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Gina Davis is 53 years old today. Do yourself a favor to celebrate. Go rent Cutthroat Island. Oh, that's a movie.
That's a masterpiece.
Right.
How about Buffalo Bill?
I love Drum Buffalo Bill. It was a great series.
Great show.
Dabney Coleman.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Right
that's
now.
All right. Me and Ralph are bonding.
That's right.
Good.
Singer Cat Powers, 37 years old today, and Spice Girl Emma Bunton.
Time out. Here comes the lie.
She's 33 years old. She's Baby Spice. She's the youngest
I'm 40,
one.
Dude. How's that chick?
She's Baby Spice.
So when I was a senior, she was in fifth grade?
That's right.
Come on. Yes.
That's why she's Baby Spice.
That's a big dude, Baby Spice.
Stick
walking around.
With
those 19-inch heels like she thinks she's Ace Frehley. Jay Moore, Irvine Improv, Thursday night.
All right, we'll get to the Jay. We'll be back in a minute.
You're not even on yet.
What do you mean I'm not on? You tricked me.
I'm Rob Garvin. I walk the show.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. I'm sure you heard it yesterday morning, but in case you didn't, we talked to the Vice President, Dick Cheney, as... wish I could remember our president's name.
Barack Obama? President Obama?
Come on.
Wow. That's shocking even to me.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It was just yesterday.
Happens.
That happened yesterday.
Happens all the time. Happens. Who are you trying? Who are you going for? FDR? Or?
I was going for Obama.
DiMaggio?
But that name wouldn't
Ed Norton?
I don't know how that happens.
No, nothing going on. Ed Norton?
That's the voice of Jay Moore in the studio of the world famous K-Rock here this morning. Of course, his Gary Unmarried is a big hit on CBS
tonight.
8:30? Yes.
You don't have to sit through American Idol. TiVo American Idol and watch Gary Unmarried.
Absolutely.
Thank God, something else
you
on.
Can see him live and on stage this Thursday through Sunday. Wow, is that four big nights at the Irvine Improv, at the Irvine
four
Spectrum, Jay Moore?
Enormous, gigantic, yes we can nights.
Go to improv.com to get your tickets to see Jay Moore. He is best enjoyed live, that's what I'm saying, because he really has to hold back when he's on the radio. So.
Lots of inauguration material.
Oh, good.
Nice Teddy Kennedy had a seizure. He's got to steal the thunder. Black man finally gets his day in the spotlight. First of all, I was a little amazed he was on time. For starters.
Sure.
Oh. These are all my words.
Yes, they are. He did get sworn in 5 minutes late, Jay, so he really
he was late, right?
Time. He was late, yes.
All right. And what was he drinking? I won't say that.
No.
What's wrong with you?
Nope.
What? I danced around. I'm an expert at this. You know that.
All right. Yeah.
But I can't wait for Hail to the Chief to be replaced by Gin and Juice. Anyway, but you know,
a
gang.
Good show at the Improv.
How about when he was walking around town for like an hour? Was everyone else as nervous and skittish as I was? I'm like, get that man indoors.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Brothers don't like the cold.
It was.
James Earl Ray's behind him in a motorcade. Knock it off. Bunch of white supremacists with a double tree suite with a balcony. Stop it. I would feel that way. If George Bush was walking the streets in 2004, I'd be like, I'm not comfortable with this at all.
It just seems like things could go terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Terribly wrong.
Why is it worth the risk?
Like when that poet decided to give that wonderful poem right after the inauguration speech. It was Nelson Mandela's granddaughter, that lady that walked the room. She walked the mall. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't. Yes.
Right?
She wanted to talk about.
I don't care if it was. It would have been more interesting if it was Nelson Mandela's warden that would have held the crowd's attention more. Instead, it was just some lady that looks like Jessica Alba.
Oh, no.
Trying to do like a poor man's Maya Angelou.
What about Aretha Franklin in her outfit, though? What about that?
I like that hat. That's nice. Oh. PETA's got to be up in arms about that. That 16 seagulls crashed into her face and just
she's
decided
a screw
to
you
hang
PETA
out.
Woman, though.
Yeah. Huh?
Is she?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
she's
she
all
PETA.
About fur. She's oh. all about fur. Yeah.
I think every woman should be. I think.
But it takes so many animals for her. That's
I don't care.
It does. For her, it takes a
my
the only
God,
reason those
like
animals.
When
was the
her.
Last time you were in the woods and went, look, a mink? It's like, when was the last time you bumped into a wild cow?
When's the last time you, only, you were so cold that you had to wear fur?
It's not about being cold.
You're
it's
not
about
an
looking
Inuit.
Fantastic as you leave the St. Regis.
Oh, dear God.
You got to look nice. What if you're Clyde Frazier and you're on the Knicks? You're supposed to wear a members-only jacket?
That's a good point.
If you're Aretha and you want to look nice, go on a diet.
Yeah.
Whoa! Well, whoa! You
how
know
about
what?
That?
I'm, as a black person and as a fat person, I'm offended.
You're neither, really.
Hey, I have a question for you.
From the
Jay
waist
Cox-Mart.
Up, down,
and that, whichever and that way is, makes sense.
Thursday's the best night to see me if you want to meet me
at the Irvine Improv.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'll be there before the shows. They're coming in.
Okay.
And I'll be in the lobby like, because I got to drive down after Gary Unmarried.
Okay.
And the weekends I'm in between. All right, what were you saying, Bean?
I was saying, how will what will your friend Tracy Morgan, who I know makes an appearance during your act at the Improv, what will he have to say about the new president?
My favorite book is Scruples. And Ronzoni is my favorite pasta. I love Barack Obama. Barack, holler at me. Me, you, and Horace Grant are going to have a party. Yeah, with the glasses, we're all going to take turns putting on the whole Grant glasses, boxing out. Yeah, I love Barack Obama. And I miss my big daughter with a doo-doo pamper.
I don't know what that means.
Of course you don't know, because it's all love. Love knew Bean before Bean even knew what love was.
It's
I'm legendary. I'm straight sugar booger.
When I see Tracy Morgan, as I did on stage at the Golden Globes last
week,
to me now, it looks like Tracy Morgan is doing an impression of Jay Moore doing
well,
an impression
I'm
of Tracy Morgan.
That's what they used to say about the walking impression. Now everybody just Christopher Walken. Now it's all about Tracy. My favorite color is McRib. Yeah. Yeah, like Richard, it's all about them gold shoes you put on.
We were having a conversation
we
after
We want the funk.
Right. After the Golden Globes, we were having a conversation about whether Tracy is really that crazy in real life all the time or if he is putting on a character in public.
No, he's
that
crazy.
Is so
you got to ask when
crazy.
You watch Rocky and you see Burgess Meredith.
Yes. Burgess?
Right.
Burgess. Yeah. Well, yeah. Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin are my love parents.
Right, but are you really that crazy, or is it an act that you're putting on to be funny because you're a comedian, Tracy? That's
I'm
what I'm trying to figure out.
I'm from Lovetron. Nobody knows. I'm breaking backboards and breaking ankles and swishing and dishing. Yeah, rendition.
Lovetron.
I'm like Boys to Men when they kicked two, when they kicked out Michael Bivins. That's
he
what I'm all about.
Boys to Men. He was in New Edition.
Nobody knows what it means. It's crazy talk. And if you question a black man, then you're a racist. What do you mean I'm well-spoken?
I don't think anyone's ever said that about you, Tracy.
I love when Barack Obama did his speech, and at the very end, he let slip.
Why? What did he say?
He goes, gives his. It was a wonderful speech, by the way.
It was.
And I love when he's like doing personal shots at Bush, and they cut to Bush wearing like 16 scarves.
I know.
That was pretty awesome. They
and
focused
Bush is
in
like, I don't like that kind of people. And in my act, I would say something entirely different.
I'm sure you would.
And then at the very end, Brock goes, thank you. God bless you. God bless America. Welcome to death row. And he turned like, and he said that like the side of his mouth, like the other side of his mouth, somebody had already put a cool in. Watch it again. I'm not even kidding. At the very end, he goes, thank you. God bless the American people have spoken. And we're going to give them change. And God bless America. God bless. He said, God bless you. And then he turns like. Like Chris Rock dropping the mic at the Apollo. God bless the United States of America. Yeah.
Not noticed
you act
that.
Like a fool. You get mashed on, dude.
Yeah, I love a rock.
Jay Moore is here. Gary Unmarried is on Wednesday nights at 8:30
tonight.
On CBS.
Just say tonight.
Tonight. All right.
What's the matter with you?
And tomorrow through
smarten
Sunday.
Smarten up.
At the Irvine Improv. We'll be right.
What about K-Rock World Tour 2009? Just announced this week.
What?
Hi,
I'm
Jay.
In, I'm in.
Jay is in.
Destination
no,
number
I'm
one
into
is
the show. 2009. I'm in.
Huh? Okay. Okay. Destination number one awesome. Of the world tour is U2 in London. All this week, we're giving away the brand new U2 CD before it comes out in March, and you get on the standby boarding list for a grand prize drawing that we'll do on Monday morning to send you to London to see the band at the Brit Awards. Your chance to win that, by the way, to be qualified for the trip and win the CD happening in, oh, I don't know, like 5 minutes, so why not stick around?
I thought you were talking about the comedy thing.
Oh, no, we haven't talked about that yet.
All right, well, let's not talk about it.
That's exciting. I'm glad.
Me but thanks too. For bringing it up.
We took a call earlier this morning, Jay Moore.
Yes, sir.
And I would like you to hear.
You guys said Jay Cox Moore's coming in. Is that
yep.
what I heard?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh. He really took his wife's name.
He did.
What
he did.
A tool.
Yeah.
I'd like to see who this guy wakes up next to. I'd like to see what sow this guy has to make love to from behind every night.
I think it's Jay. Very sweet.
I think it's embarrassing.
Really?
Yes.
It depends on Bean? The name.
The Confederacy of Dunces, the main character, sitting yes. at home with mittens, he can't leave his house.
I want to hear from you, Jay, because look, no matter what your explanation is, no matter how deeply you believe it, how much you love your wife, you're still going to be cool and I'm still going to respect you, but I do not understand how a man makes this move. I don't.
Here's the bit. First of all right, I'll go in order of misconceptions.
Okay. Okay.
My wife took my last name.
Sure.
People think like she didn't, and I was like, how about I take yours instead? Which right. would be make me a total bottom.
Right.
Okay.
So she took my last name the moment we were married. She okay. became Nicole Avery Cox Moore.
Right. Okay.
Then I decided to take her name because mm-hmm. she took my name. So it's like I added a middle name. So I'm John Ferguson Cox Moore. Mm-hmm. That's all. I just took her name because she took mine out of respect. She's great.
That's very sweet.
It's the combining of the families.
Hmm.
How can I show how much I respect that family?
Bowing out. I mean, I don't know how you
bowing
could,
out.
I'm saying step away.
Step away from my marriage.
It's really the only thing you can
no,
do.
Well, are you kidding me? I'd be in jail if I got out of this marriage.
I think it depends a little on the name. When I got married, my husband's last name was Foot with an E, and I said no.
Yeah, see?
Lisa Foot.
It yeah, just so happens name. That her name is Cox.
That's the problem.
I mean, that's...
Cox Moore.
I would think she would have been happy to drop Cox and just be Nicky Moore.
You're telling me if her last name was Foot, you
yes.
guys wouldn't be sitting here mocking me.
Correct.
Well, you're wrong.
No. We would be mocking, but
you're
not as hard.
Hi, Jay Foot Moore. If her name was...
name. Don't do it.
O'Brien. Nicole... All right, so I'm John Ferguson O'Brien Moore. You guys would still hammer me no matter what her name was.
Probably, but not as much.
Because you're obsessed with that?
Well, because that's her name, and now it's your name.
Well, so you
does a guy?
You, did you make fun of her? Like your last name is Cox.
They have
because she that's the name she was born with.
Yeah, right. But you've still made
she
fun
didn't
of it.
Choose to have that name.
But I was
which
born
you
to be.
Did.
But I was born to be with her.
Okay, fine. You can be with her.
Look, this will all be resolved at the Irvine Improv Thursday night. Thursday night. 8:30.
How are you going to resolve it?
Huh?
How are you going to resolve it?
Well, you got to go to the show and find out.
Right.
Jay, God bless America.
How long have you guys been married now?
2-year anniversary last month.
Okay, congratulations. So what happened recently that made you think, hey, I've been married to this woman for 2 years, now I'm going to take her name?
Nothing.
Oh, well, this didn't just happen?
It just happened. That's
no,
why
happened,
I'm asking.
But, like,
why did
was,
it just happen
no,
now?
There was no like big moment where I went, like, thanks for pulling me out of the snowdrift.
Right, but,
I better take your last name.
But something had to happen. Otherwise, that just doesn't come to your mind.
No,
yeah,
I just thought
2 years
I just
in.
I just thought it was great. I thought it was great. I thought, you know what? I'm gonna add her name to my name. I think that will be great.
Do you know that
let's
her name is Cox?
No, I don't know what her last name
I'm
is.
I'm just
you
asking.
You know what, Kevin?
I'm
you
asking.
You got me in a corner.
I'm just asking.
Boy, you're a cagey fighter.
What a tool.
Jab, 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 counterpunch. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that was her last name. Where did that guy call from? Selmar?
What kind of reaction LA? Are you getting from your friends, Jay, about the new
not,
name?
No. Yeah. My wife's my best friend. There's not.
But you have other friends, too, right?
Yeah, but I mean.
You have to. Somebody besides us has to be busting you on this.
Well,
oh,
people,
Jay,
on the, people on the
honest.
Internet are crazy.
No, you're friends. Friends. You don't have any friends?
I think my real friends,
yes.
like the ones you count on one hand,
yeah.
have seen the transformation in my life, and I'm no longer such a complete a-hole and wreck house everywhere I
right.
go.
They like the new Jay.
That they're like, whatever works, this guy is a better representative of the guy that I met when I first met him.
He what did. A tool.
Yeah. So they accept the new name because it's a trade-off that's worth
well,
it.
Well, no, they accept the new name because it's not... I don't walk. Hi, I'm Jay John Ferguson Coxmore. I'm Jay Moore.
Not to us, you're not. You're Jay Coxmore to us.
I prefer Coxie.
You're Ferguson Cox to me.
Good.
Or Ferdinand.
I can do porn with that chick from Passions that played the midget.
Fergie Cox is his new name.
That's good.
All right, we need to take another break. Can
Why
you stick
do
around
I...
for another? We didn't need to take another break.
You just brought me in here to make fun of my name?
Yes.
His name is Bean.
I know.
Your name is Bean. Your name is a cinnamon for something women touch.
Right, let's
it is. A little That's three true. Knuckle shuffle on the bean.
Let's take a call from Marion then in Fullerton. Good morning, Marion.
Hi.
Hi.
If you take someone else's last name, you usually leave your name in the first part, and then you take their name last. So shouldn't your last name technically be Moore Cox?
No, first of all, that's completely reversed what you just said.
No, it isn't. They usually
no,
put the,
it's not because
the person's
Nikki
name.
Took. Your wife took your last name, and it's last, so it's her name is Coxmore, right?
Yeah, but she's the... Say it again, sweetheart.
So, because, say, if you get married, the woman usually keeps her name, her last name first, and then the man's name last.
Right, but
so
but
if you're taking her name, shouldn't you have your name and then her name? So she'd be Coxmore, but you would be Moore Cox.
All right, I just set you up so you could say it again on the radio for yourself. But I'm not taking her last name as my last name. I'm adding her last name as a middle name.
She's just wondering why you're doing it differently. But because then you wouldn't have the same last name.
Because
and
my
the
last
point
name
is to have
isn't
the
Cox.
Same last name.
My last name is Moore.
What right. a tool.
I'm proud. Yeah, you know what, Kevin? I'm going to smash you in the face with that freaking button. Do it again.
What a tool.
Yeah. Moore Cox.
Moore Cox. On the wedding invites, we should have put Moore Cox. That would be, I mean, everybody would want to go to that wedding.
Thank you, Marion.
Wow, the Hotel Bel Air has said it again, right?
She's just referring to you. That's all. She's just giving you props.
Hey, Moore Cox.
Say it again. What's your last name, Marion?
Hey, Moore Cox. Gary, I'm married.
Thank you. What's your last name, sweetheart?
Garrett.
Garrett. And what's your husband's last name?
That is his last
Garrett.
Name.
Garrett.
All right. What's your maiden name?
Campbell.
All right. And what's your middle name?
Hold on.
Sorry, I don't have anything dirty in my name.
No. I'm not going there.
You would never do
Mrs.
that.
Mrs. Garrett.
You would never go there.
Look, Mrs. Garrett from the Facts of Life. That's all.
No,
I wasn't done.
That's not very good.
All right. You go we have to take a break. But if I'm the referee,
I'm ruling this.
Marion won.
In America.
Jay Coxmore won. No, I'm sorry. Marion is the winner.
What a fool.
Aw. Jay Moore is here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Gary Unmarried is his hilarious new sitcom on CBS Wednesday nights at 8:30.
Tonight.
That means it's on tonight. Why watch that? I mean, seriously, no one needs to see Lost
Why
or American Idol.
Should.
Those are bogus.
No, he's saying don't watch Lost.
I'm
and
saying
American
don't
Idol.
Don't watch the bogus shows. Watch the very funny Gary Unmarried.
So when
the
guy from Lost comes in, you're just going to... Oh, no, he's on Heroes.
He's on the phone, so... No, he's lost.
And then Jay
I don't
Moore
get to be on the phone. You guys tear me a new one when I want to be on the phone.
Because we like you, and we like spending time with you. Andy's in Hawaii. Good point, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
You know, and Jay is going to be on stage at the Irvine Improv. Trying to do your plug
sorry,
at the Irvine
Thursday
Improv.
Thursday night.
Thursday through Sunday, Irvine Improv at the Irvine Spectrum. Go to improv.com.
But Thursday and Sunday
is
most important, because that's when I get 100% of the door.
Thursday and Sunday. Okay, so don't go Friday and Saturday.
You can go, but I mean, whatever.
Okay.
All right. It's like... I love Beats.
Okay.
You like Beats?
No.
You like them, right?
Are we talking to Tracy Morgan again? What's going on here?
I love Beats.
What just happened?
You're talking to Harvey Keitel. Gentlemen, last night I ate Beats.
Why did you say I like Beats?
Because I'm telling you, last night I had Beats, like a whole bunch. I went to Amir's Falafel in the Valley, and I had like a big quart-sized thing of Beats. And
only Beats?
Well, I had other things, too. I had, like, food, regular food. But then I went to... If you type in what a tool, I'm going to come over there and smash you in the face.
What a tool. Yeah.
There you go. Kevin can do it. But Mike, I can't have Mike with his stupid shirt from the whatever casino you work at with that gay gondola shirt.
Gondola shirt.
But I just went to the bathroom and dropped a deuce, and I forgot I had Beats, and I almost called 911. I looked down and said, I have cancer of my bowels, apparently.
Oh, dear.
Wow,
God.
That went south quick.
Literally.
That
and it took a long time to get there. And United States of America.
Jay, I have two more questions for you, sir.
It's a middle name. It was a mission statement.
Do you care at all about Cardinals versus Steelers is thing one.
Yeah.
You into
what
it?
Cool.
You like it?
Yeah, I like... Thursday at the Improv, you guys are going to have a great time. Every time you play that, I'm just going to plug.
Kevin put
Thursday
Kevin put
at the
money
improv.
Down.
Irvine. Irvine Kevin improv, put money Jay down. 8:30.
Before the season began on the Cardinals to win the Super Bowl, and now he's
That's
one victory away from a huge
you didn't really think they
no,
were going to...
I did it because of the long, the big payout.
Was it 50 to 1?
$20, 60 to 1.
And you put $20 down,
yep.
So what is that?
$1,200.
Sometimes more than that.
But they have to win.
Don't flood it. They got to win. I think they are going
to
win.
Do
I don't. I just don't see how you match
do.
Up with those. Is Kurt Warner a Hall of Famer? Look, let's not lose the ladies.
Okay.
You got a big lady following that loves to go to the improv in Irvine.
Is that right? Do they like to go on Thursdays and Sundays or Fridays and Saturdays?
Well, it doesn't. You know what? At this point, it's just dealer's choice because the phones are ringing off the hook, guys.
That's because we gave away the U2 package. That's
I have
why.
A new impression. Did I ever do Chris Tucker for you guys?
I don't think remember. So. It's been a while.
Very timely, though, with all those Rush Hour movies in theaters.
I will then never mind.
No, let's hear
no I'd like to hear it.
No,
I would
like,
enjoy
I'd
hearing
like
it.
Do something more timely.
I'd like to hear your President Benjamin Harrison while we're at it.
Benjamin Harrison. Wow, Bean.
He is a presidential enthusiast.
As let me do my impression of Bean. Well, we're back.
All right, Chris Tucker. Go something
like this. No, I'm not
like
doing
this.
It.
Come on.
Beep, beep. Man. Man, bad grape soda in the White House.
Okay, don't say that. Please don't.
Why not?
All right. Here's my question. Cool. Here's my question number two.
I went so sorry.
Yeah, do you have something?
No, go ahead. William G. Harding. You're going to ask me about William G. Harding next?
Warren G. Harding. A listener
William,
called.
Not the one I knew.
A listener called and said, when you have Jay Coxmore on, A, make fun of his name. B, find out if it's true that when he was filling in for Jim Rome, he said on the air that Sarah Jessica Parker is good looking.
Yeah.
It was that same dude that called him a tool.
Yeah. I said, everyone, like, it's a huge running gag on that show and on your show, like, of how
that she's
nasty
like
she is. And it's like, let me tell you something. If you don't think she's pretty and you don't want to sleep with her, why don't you guys let her down easy? Like, don't break her heart that, you know, like the guys in Fontana don't want to sleep with Sarah Jessica Parker. Don't break her heart, guys.
What happened
to you,
But
if she
you,
was
Jay?
Your wife, Kevin.
What happened to you?
If she was your wife.
But what happened to
and you?
And
you had a fantasy football draft, Mike would be like, is Sarah coming?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think he would.
She's just a cool, she's super nice, she's great.
Well, we don't know her personally, we just think
no,
she
I'm
looks
sure
like a
nice.
Horse. That's all.
She seems really nice, but I mean, the Family Guy, remember, they said she has a face like a foot, remember?
Well,
but
you know what? I didn't realize the Family Guy said it, so I threw it that's where I get all my news from, is the Daily Show these days. Jesus, Bean. You know, you know what? And I read somewhere that Jennifer Love Hewitt is dating Peter Griffin.
What I'm saying is we're not the only ones who have pointed out that maybe she's not pretty. There are others who have made the same observation. You can't hate on us.
I don't think she's the most beautiful gal in the world, but I certainly don't think she's ugly. Like I think
she's not in the top 200 of women in Hollywood, though, Jay.
Yeah. No, not even
Come
close.
On.
Not even
not
close.
In the top 200.
Not in the top 1,000.
Yeah.
1,000?
I mean, there's a lot.
Are we talking about waitresses at Roadhouse Cafe or actually working people?
Either.
Well, then all I say to you is let her down easy.
Well, I don't
when
think she cares.
She walks in here at 8 in the morning
she
with her sweatpants and her
think.
Hair pulled back, and you guys go, I was not prepared for how actually pretty she was in person.
But she doesn't care what
Have you
think.
Ever seen her in person?
No.
No, you have. Nope. So you don't know what you're talking about.
What happened to you?
I think sometimes she sometimes she doesn't photograph that well, and sometimes she looks beautiful.
Lisa, the men are talking.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jay's back.
That got broken up by the stupid horse sound.
Jay's back.
Oh man.
Lisa looks very pretty today, my
yep.
God.
Thank you.
Lisa
you
is pretty. We're not saying she looks like a horse.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Is he new?
No.
How long have you been going out with this guy?
A while.
So what's the new trick that he pulled out up his sleeve?
Nothing. I just
Well.
I just look pretty. Can't I
Did
just
I
look
get
pretty?
No.
Oh.
Lisa is going to marry him and not take his name. She's going to change her last name to Coxmore.
Lisa.
For comedy.
What is his last name?
I'm not talking about him on the air.
Why? Are you talking about my whole life?
No, I'm not.
Are you talking about taking a dump with beets in
you
it?
You didn't have to.
Yeah, that was a bad choice.
You guys, the producers in the hallway going, listen, when you go in there, make sure you tell the story you just told us. Because that's what they like. They like it like if it just happened.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was very funny.
I'm happy that you don't have cancer.
But, right.
No, I don't have cancer. I had a colonoscopy because
you like it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, I had both. I had endoscopy and colonoscopy because I had, are we speaking freely?
Yeah.
Yes.
Your finger on the dump button, maybe?
Well, yeah, but don't.
So you can say it.
I had diarrhea for 8 months.
You know
That's
what?
Okay.
Oh, 8 months?
Eight months.
Yeah.
That's not possible.
That sounds deadly.
I just, every time I sat down, I was like a dirty fountain in the park.
Good morning, everybody.
So, it took you 8 months to figure out what it was?
You have Imodium, you switch to the white rice diet, everyone's got an opinion. Like, you know what you need to do? Like, yeah, I know what I need to do. I need to, you know.
Stop this.
I need this to end.
What was it?
They have no idea. I'm like the mystery patient.
Wow.
They know it's not. They took, like, samples of my intestines, my
stomach.
Did
it clear up?
It clears up. Like, right now when I go, it's going to be an explosive spin art mess.
Oh, Jay.
What? Yeah. What, Bean? What is it? What happened?
Well, I'm just...
Where's Bean?
Just
where did he go?
It's a horrible morning visual.
Call Bean back. I think maybe it's stress. When I got the back, when I got the full order of Gary O'Married, I started making nice Havana cigars.
Okay. Once you're working,
you know. So, you know... But then the show will end, and you got to wonder if you get a second season, and then I'll just spend the summer rocketing Yoo-Hoo for my rear end.
Rocketing Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah, repeat the ones you like, Mike. Wow. I wish people could see his shirt.
I do, too.
It's like he's in gay jail.
Jay Moore is going to be on stage at the Irvine Improv Thursday through Sunday, but please go Thursday or Sunday. Rocketing Yoo-Hoo is going to be opening. It's at the Irvine Spectrum, improv.com. Of course, Gary Unmarried is on tonight at 8:30 on CBS. We're going to take a quick break, but Jay, why not stick around? Because Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up next.
I love Ralph.
I love Ralph.
What a tool.
Yeah. All right, stick around.
Partly cloudy, 50% chance of showers this evening. Highs will be in the 70s. New year, new degree, new future. Find your new future with National University. 1-800-NATUNIV.
Pull them up.
Lisa May, I'm not looking.
Pull them up.
Lisa May with K Rock Traffic.
Pull your pants up, Jay.
Thursday.
Pull your pants up.
Look how small it is.
Please put it away, Jay. Put it away.
See, literally
this is why I didn't jump into the jacuzzi with you when we were at that hotel and I saw you at the spa. This is why I.
Ralph is here with the
options.
Yep. Ralph is here with the showbiz beat. And then coming up after the news, Ralph, we're going to be talking to the CEO of Carl's Jr. to try to find your mystery girl from the commercial. How about that?
I know.
Put on your headphones. Yes.
Sorry, I almost said something terrible.
You did say something terrible. We had to get out of the delay.
You've already said something terrible.
When you and I were
in the spa
jacuzzi together,
we didn't get in the jacuzzi together.
You couldn't wait to get out of there fast. As soon as you knew I was done. You could have waited.
I am not comfortable with acquaintance nudity.
Well, you waited for me to finish, and I respect it.
That's nice. That's nice, Ralph.
And then when I left, I turn over my shoulder, and I look at him, and he's in the jacuzzi facing the jets.
Is that right?
That's always great when you're on vacation.
Had to get the jaws of life in there later to get me out.
You see the 16-year-old girl like, ooh, wait a minute. What did you say?
Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we?
Yes.
You know the girl we're talking about from the Carl's Jr. commercial, by the way, Jay?
Don't look down. Help me.
The blonde in the blue dress, who the guy, she thinks she's getting a steak dinner from her boyfriend. He's playing video games, and she walks into his apartment, just smoking hot blonde. You know what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to find her.
If you like girls.
We got to find her. We got to find her and talk to her and see why she's not doing traffic for us.
Exactly.
Whoa,
or appearing on stage at the Improv this week.
I'll see you at HR, my friend. Just because she wouldn't look at your tiny thing, she can't do traffic.
That was you.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Coldplay.
Yeah, boring.
They lead the nominations pack for the 2009 Brit Awards, which is the British version of the Grammys. So it is, less.
You know,
it's
you
less
know
than ours
Chris
we're
Martin's
Americans.
Boring.
How do you know Chris Martin's boring?
He married Gwyneth Paltrow. I'd like to wake up to that drip every day.
She's got a lot of vitality, I think.
Vitality?
I would marry her. I would marry her right now.
What'd you say, Beaner?
Yeah, Bean loves
her. I love Gwyneth Paltrow so much.
She looked good at Iron Man.
Would you say that if your wife was home?
She was. She did.
She looked good at Iron Man.
She knows I love Gwynny.
Gwynny.
Yeah.
Coldplay's got 4 nominations, thanks to their most recent album, Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends. Best group, best album, best single, best live act with their nomination. So congratulations.
You know how I know you're gay?
No.
You like Coldplay.
Congratulations to Coldplay.
What's that from?
And Duffy.
What is that from, Dee?
40-year-old version.
Oh, yeah, 40-year-old version. Yeah.
Well, I agree. I think I used to like them a lot, and then, you know what, Ralph, this is your time. I apologize.
No, feel free. That's why we invite you in, to get a unique spin on things.
I just think they're incredibly dull. I saw them at the Hollywood Bowl, and about a half hour in, I went, this is kind of it for the next 40 minutes. Just big power ballads over and over and over and over and over and over. So,
yeah, but you didn't know that going?
You caught by surprise. You're expecting like a Kiss-type pyrotechnic show from Coldplay.
Lots of makeup, stage antics.
Everything has a gay undertone with me. Have you noticed? Gwyneth Paltrow, Coldplay, makeup. Yeah. What are you going to be for Halloween? Murder?
No, he went as this year. Kanye. He went as Conway. Okay, all right.
Conway? He went as what?
Kanye West.
Kanye West? Yeah. You wore blackface?
That's who he was.
I did.
For Halloween.
He was a good Kanye, too, let me tell you. He performed.
Do you think Kanye's
stronger? I don't know.
Talented? Probably. Does he sound talented?
Yeah, then. Oprah Winfrey's ex-boyfriend is writing a book claiming that while they were dating, one of their favorite activities was to smoke crack together.
Yeah. I didn't think she got so thin.
I'm so fat.
Oprah's ex says that they smoked together as recently as 1984 while she was still filming her TV show. So
when David Lee Roth was in Van Halen, that was the last time they like, we just did it.
In 84.
Well, the point being is she was already on the air with a popular talk show while they were still...
I'd rather her smoke crack than Tyra Banks wear different wigs.
Are those our only two options?
Once again,
I'm just thinking there's only
choices.
Two black chicks I know.
All right.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. apparently fighting with his boss on set of the new Sherlock Holmes movie that he's currently filming. Guy Ritchie has made him wear 4-inch platform lifts in his shoes so he can be the same height as Jude Law, his co-star. And Robert Downey Jr. is not happy about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a difference.
Is that a real problem?
You know, for $20 million, I'll wear a 4-inch lifts in my ass.
I'll do a CBS sitcom for a fraction of that.
Would you? That's just ridiculous. Don't get nuts.
That's not right.
Well, Kevin Meaney. That rarely comes up.
God bless you. You're like a crazy person doing the news.
Wearing your pants with all your pants on.
Rolling around with your Wayne Newton mustache.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know, but I loved
him. Obscure comedian.
Why do you book
him? I can honestly say I did not wake up this morning expecting a Kevin Meaney impression.
What's
on
wrong with you?
You didn't expect to wake up
like
this morning.
Like a crazy person.
Took Lunesta and Scotch last night and said, please, Lord. Let it be Kevin and Ralph tomorrow, please. Kevin, welcome to Kevin and Ralph.
And they have announced the list of the top-selling albums of all time in England. Are you interested?
Top-selling albums of all time.
I know they are
time.
in real life.
In real life?
And not England.
In the real world?
It's
real
world. Thriller, it's Tapestry,
right.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Thriller's only number 8 on the British list.
That has to be the Beatles, right?
Nope.
It doesn't?
Nope. Dark Side
is some Hawkwing,
sixth,
Marillion?
Is 6th on the list.
So Dark, Tapestry, Carole King?
Not on the list.
All right.
Immaculate Collection by Madonna is number 10.
Oh. Pet Shop Boys has got to be on there.
No.
Something else. Them. Something gayer.
Jackson's got 9 and 8 with Bad and Thriller.
Okay.
Greatest Hits 2 by Queen, number 7.
All right. There you
go. Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd was 6. Gold, Greatest Hits by ABBA, number 5.
ABBA.
Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits, number 4 on the list.
Wow. Really? Very odd.
Wow.
What's the Story, Morning Glory by Oasis, number 3.
Of course, Oasis, yeah.
2, Sgt. Pepper's by the Beatles, and the number 1 biggest selling hit ever album in the UK. Greatest Hits by Queen, the first Greatest Hits album. Queen's
I think we learned
hits.
A lot about England today.
They love them some Queen.
They do. They love the Queen.
It doesn't take a lot to get a British guy to dress up like a woman, does it?
No, it really doesn't.
You ever heard Kevin's impression of Queen Elizabeth?
That's how they become...
Hello!
That's my impression. That's right. Exactly. That's the only one I do.
To be a British comic famous in the States, you have to dress like a chick.
Is that right?
It helps.
Like a crazy person.
That's not right.
Not
going
right.
To the improv.
You.
Telling your secrets.
Tight pants on.
Changing your name. Rolling around in the cocks and the moor.
Today's celebrity birthday.
I hyphenated it so it didn't get dumped.
Actress Gina Davis is 53. Cat Power turns 37 today. And Spice Girl Emma Bunton, Baby Spice.
Is a liar.
Is 33 years old.
Big, fatso liar.
She's only 33.
We've done research and it's real. She's
33. What, on Wikipedia?
Yeah, exactly.
How can she be 33 right now?
Weren't they pop? Well, they, it seems like they were popular like 15 years ago.
If you want to be my lover,
that's
you
why
gotta
she
get
was
with
the baby. She was the baby Spice.
She was Baby Spice.
She was
in
the
her
youngest.
Defense.
She was tiny. She was just
Bunton.
She was a zygote.
That sounds like what you call that fat part above the private.
The Bunton.
Did you see her Bunton?
Oh, she's got a huge Bunton.
She's hot, but she could lose that Bunton.
I'm Ralph.
It's right
Garman.
Next to her fup.
I walk the showbiz beat.
All right.
Let's say goodbye to Jay Moore.
I just hear bingo.
All right.
Jay's going to be
that's enough for him. Now.
Yeah. Channel 2 tonight, 8:30, Gary Unmarried, and then Thursday through Sunday at the Irvine Improv. Go to improv.com.
Gentlemen and lady, always.
You're the best, Jay.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't mind getting up. It's so much fun.
You're the best.
Now I'm going to try to sleep in the car home.
All right. Good luck. And we're going to talk to Hurley, Jorge Garcia, coming up later this hour.
I only care if they show the Chuck Carl's Jr. commercial during Lost. That's the only reason I would watch Lost tonight. Because all that matters on television is the Carl's Jr. commercial.
we've been hearing you talk quite a bit about the new Carl's Jr. commercial for their steak sandwich. But for listeners who have perhaps not been tuning in much lately, what's your obsession with the actress in this commercial?
What's my obsession with her? She's just heaven on legs. She's just an angel that's dropped down from the sky and put on a blue dress. Yeah. And she's trying to get a decent steak dinner from a loser who's playing the video games and just wants to feed her burgers.
And she said, I thought we were going out for steak. And he said, we are.
She goes, aren't you going to get changed? And he's like, no.
Because
she's incredible.
Yeah.
And you don't want to see her hurt. That's what this is about.
And they have added a new commercial now where you see her. It's like a prequel where she's trying on different outfits before she decides on the blue dress to go have her steak dinner with her boyfriend.
Wow. All
and right. Don't get me wrong. I love the steak sandwich available at Carl's Jr. It's delicious. But I have to make a deal with them where I will eat that every day for the rest of my life if you take those commercials off the air because I can't stand
take them
it anymore.
Off. What's
I can't
wrong
stand
with you?
It anymore.
What's wrong
it's
with you?
It's too painful. It's like looking at the sun when you see this girl.
But you don't want to take her off.
Don't take them off. You want to make it a
groovy
movie.
Is what
it's
you
like
want to make
red
it.
Hot Cheetos. It makes me crazy.
Well, but don't ruin our fun because you can't take it.
She's just too hot. She's too hot.
Many of our listeners have emailed, and we know the actress's name is Tamara Brown. We know that. We are trying to locate her, and I think we are one step closer, Ralph, because on the phone, believe it or not, the CEO of Carl's Jr., Andy Puzder, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Good morning, Mr. Puzder. Thank you.
Morning, Kevin. Morning, Bean. Morning, Ralph.
Andy, good work, by the way, on this whole commercial thing you guys got going.
Well, I can't take all the credit, but I will take some of it.
Of course you can. You're the CEO. You can fire whoever actually did it and then take the credit.
No, I hadn't thought of that.
Say it was your idea.
That's right.
So the campaign is this new steak sandwich is so good that you could easily confuse it for a fancy steak dinner, and that's where the hilarity ensues between the people in the commercial, right?
That's the message. We do that a lot with our products to try and make sure that people understand they get a restaurant-quality product, but you can get it at fast food
right,
price,
but let's talk about her.
Yeah.
They don't mind.
So the guy, it's for guys, you know, because that's a steak dinner for a guy who's going to Carl's Jr. and getting their delicious steak sandwich.
That's right.
And I love these commercials because they continue the stereotype that we're all sloppy, slovenly, just slackers.
Which happens to be true.
Well,
in our case.
You guys haven't given us reason to think that's
true
not
in our
true.
Case,
the
yeah.
only problem is we rarely have girlfriends who look like Tamara Brown. That's the problem.
Well, she definitely is the focus. I like the prequel better than the commercial itself as well. Yeah,
the prequel's insane.
Yeah.
Now, have you had any complaints around the country, like what Ralph is voicing here, Mr. Puzder, that the commercial is too distracting because she's too pretty and it's like looking at the sun and there could be some sort of physical damage to you if you watch that spot?
Well, we always get complaints about our commercials. I mean, we could do the most innocent commercial in the world and somebody out there will complain. But
isn't that the way it is?
We often get complaints about the when we focus on a beautiful woman, how it's... it's taking advantage of sexuality like nobody else does that in advertising.
Right.
But
right.
We do get complaints about it. I also get calls. I had a call from a good friend of mine who's a fairly well-known guy wanted to know her name and phone number as well.
Set me up with her. That's funny.
So people are complaining she's just too hot for television.
Well, this woman has a future. We've had some other women. We did our Paris Hilton ad, but we had...
Right.
Cameron Richardson on a mechanical bowl and Ashley Hartman in that girlfriend ad where she's the waitress cleaning the table. And,
oh, right.
You do good work.
I just saw Cameron Richardson on an episode of House the other day where she played a supermodel. So, I mean, these women do get, these actresses do get breaks, after they do the ads because you get seen a lot in L.A. in particular.
I forgot about the girl who was eating the burger on the mechanical bowl and it was going real slow. Remember that commercial?
That was fantastic.
That was great. But Tamara's leagues above those girls. I'm sorry. She's just head and shoulders above them. I think you should change the name of your restaurant chain to Tamara Juniors.
That's not a bad idea.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's not like you've spent any time branding the way you have, so let's just change it.
That's true. Yeah.
So what do we know about this Tamara Brown? Is she single and looking for an older married radio guy?
Well, when my I'm not sure whether she's looking for an older married radio guy. She did the last time I called on behalf of my buddy. I found out she was married, or not married. No, not married. She was dated. She had a boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, no, not married, but she had a boyfriend. I don't know whether that's still the case or not. That was a couple weeks ago.
Well, she hasn't met me yet. That's true. The thing.
Here's what I like about Andy. The guy's a CEO of a company, and he's still calling the girl, going, "Hey,
he's hooking up his buddies with the models.
My buddy wants to know. He's kind of sweet on you."
Our ad agency did the call.
Okay,
they're good guys.
There could be a third commercial in your future, Tamara, if you hook up with my buddy and treat him right. You know what I'm saying? Wink, wink.
Got a new sandwich coming out next month.
That's right.
Hey, what are the plans?
You could be our mushroom bacon girl if you play your cards right.
Andy, have you given any thought? I mean, is this the kind of campaign that you guys have sketched out, and you know that there are going to be other chapters in this this relationship story that you're unfolding on the spots?
Well, you know, we really haven't talked about that. Normally, we don't do follow-up commercials because they get kind of stereotypical. But boy, you know, she's gotten a lot of attention.
Yeah, that's all right.
Something we need to think about.
It's all right in this particular case.
You did a second one with her. I think a series is in order.
Yeah, an exception wouldn't be out of order. I think
you need to buy like a 2-minute spot in the Super Bowl. 2 minutes, like a full chunk, so that you can just focus on her.
It's not a bad idea. We could really do a Super Bowl ad with focused on her that would get some attention.
Right.
Just her in a football jersey. That's all she's wearing, just eating fries for 2 minutes or something. She doesn't have to talk.
And with the economy, that's like $100.
Yeah, and it's cheap to film.
Yeah.
The third one, she should break up with that doofus that was playing video games instead of just...
I like to think that doofus could get her.
Well, it is nice to think that.
Yeah, in fantasy land.
Wow, that hurts. All right.
Well, you can see, if you have not seen the commercial, if your life has been empty till this point, you've not seen the commercial that we're talking about, you can go to carlsjr.com and check it out there. And Andy, by the way, for the CEO of a major, major business, very cool for coming on the Kevin Beach. A lot of CEOs will not talk to us, Andy, but we appreciate you, and we appreciate you taking our request to see more of her seriously.
Glad to do it, guys, anytime.
All right, thank you now.
Thank you.
That song is done. Finished and not coming back, so we should talk is what should happen here.
Jorge Garcia from the TV show Lost coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. King of Mexico, Dave Sanchez, joins us in studio. Dave, you're not going to watch Lost, I imagine, tonight because it's too scary. I don't like it.
I don't like scary movies.
Lost isn't scary, though. It's awesome.
Really? Because you seem to be scared by everything. No matter what movie's coming out that Kevin's excited about, you're like, oh, I can't go see that. It's too scary.
Dave is like a little child when it comes to scary movies. He really can't deal.
It's tough for me.
So you know that they're just movies, right? And you're not really going to get hurt.
I don't like things jumping out at me and scaring
me.
Me
neither, Dave. I think I'm going to have a heart attack when that happens.
Honestly, God. And it's mostly the anticipation. Like, I see something coming, I'm like, and then it happens, I'm like,
So the trailer for The Unborn came out, and I was talking about how excited I was, and Dave didn't want to see it. So then we book Odette Yussman, who came into the studio, and she's the star of that movie.
Yes.
And she's way hot.
Right.
Way hot.
So Dave puts on a sweater and a tie.
Excuse me, it's a cardigan. Thank you.
Oh, wait, no, it wasn't.
It was a sweater.
No, that's better.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kanye.
So he comes into the studio, and he's just sitting here because he wants to be in the studio when Odette Yussman is here. So we say to Dave, if you sit in the studio, you're going to have to go to the movie. I mean,
fair, by the way.
He has to pay for, you know, the privilege of sitting in the studio with her.
But I contributed so much to that interview.
Yeah, I don't think you said anything.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. So the K-Rock microphones were there when Dave finally went to see The Unborn.
I need an exorcism performed.
Yeah, you do. I'll give you an exorcism. I'll hunt you with something.
A dibbuk. Yes, a dibbuk.
I got a dibbuk for you.
Well, as for dibbuks, there really is no such thing, Miss Valda.
There is in my pants.
Folklore, spirits and demons were really just a catch-all for conditions people weren't capable of properly diagnosing.
Diagnose my penis.
We know it didn't exist back then.
I'm not mentally ill. Okay, what's happening to me is real.
Yeah. Dave's a talker, it turns out.
You shouldn't talk in the movies anyway.
That's the only way I could cope.
It's so annoying.
So then they tie her down to do the exorcism.
Mm-hmm. The exorcism must be finished. Any questions?
They start giving them the hints that you got to follow through with it because we're all in danger if the spirit comes out and now it comes into us and blah, 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 blah. So it's very tense.
Okay.
Yeah, why are...
This movie is stupid and dumb. Scroll down. I'll send this to Dean. Clippers play at 7. Yeah, home game in LA.
Let's get started.
Yeah, go to the bunker, San. Oh, who's this? Okay, I'm going to see Paramore on the 10th of February. I read on Reuters they are playing a special show. This movie's stupid. I don't even know what's going on, stupid. Oh, who's texting me now?
Participating tonight is here.
No, I won't be done with stupid not rad movie till 4 o'clock.
Yes, this is...
Not bad enough you text. You got to talk at the same time.
Yeah, no kidding.
I would hate to be with you in a movie.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. You'd love it. So,
So then the exorcism goes wrong, and people start flying around, and it's very, very tense.
Oh, no. Oh, scary. Oh, this is dumb. Why do they make dumb movies that are scary? Oh, no. My turtle's going into its shell. I cannot look. Nope, I won't do it. I won't look. I won't do it. I promise. No. Scary. No. Bad. Oh, I'm getting a text. Hold on. Yep, movie is scary. They said it would be scary. It's scary. My eyes are going bonkers.
Dave was right to say he shouldn't go see that after all. Look, it's a daunting task for people who are smart and can pay attention and can keep details together. What do you think it's like for us trying to follow Lost? I mean, we're lost.
Yeah,
no pun intended. I'm looking forward to it more than anything in the whole wide world, but it's a daunting task.
Jorge Garcia on the program with us again. Good morning, Jorge.
Good morning.
So Lost comes back tonight at 9 o'clock.
Finally, people stop asking me when we're coming back.
And this is a show that was on in the mid to late 90s, right? That's when that was the kind of the glory years of your show, right, Jorge?
Yeah, it must have been the golden age.
And you got the whole cast back together? Was everybody still alive?
Yeah, so far so good.
It's not a reunion show.
It feels like it. It has been gone for so long. Okay, so 8 o'clock tonight on ABC Channel 7, there is the recap. They're going to give us an hour kind of head start on to catch us up. Is that right, Jorge?
Right. And then there's two episodes back-to-back of the new stuff.
Fantastic. And this is the second to the last season of Lost. Do I have that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Where are we, if it's possible to ask that question?
Okay. It's kind of picks up right where the end of season four ended. So
right, but let's say that my mind is not a steel trap.
The island moved.
The island moved.
Okay.
And as far as Hurley goes, he was just sprung from a mental institution by Saeed.
Okay, that's right.
And you know, that's pretty much, you guys see where the island went and what happened to the people who were on it when that happened. That's pretty much immediately in this first episode.
Okay, good. Now, one of the things that has been so awesome about Lost is you guys, you know, from season one, from episode one, you've done a great job with the flashbacks to kind of show us everything we need to know about the characters. And then you started introducing the fast forwards, which were amazing. And it's hard, though, to keep the storyline straight as to where we are. Like, is everybody off the island and trying to get back to the island, like Ben said they had to set things right? Is that part of what we're going to see unfold tonight?
Yeah, well, there's six of us who are off the island, and it's still more of, in the attempt of trying to see if we can get them all to go back.
So this is Ben and Jack having a conversation.
So obviously John's visit to you made an impression. What did he say to make you such a believer?
Sawyer, Juliet, everyone from the boat, everyone we left behind, John said that they'd die too if I didn't come back.
Did he tell you what happened to them after the island moved?
No, he didn't.
Then I guess we'll never know.
Son of a bitch!
What?
Dude. Come on with that.
Lisa, I understand, Jorge, confirm if this is true or not, that your boyfriend Sawyer has his shirt off for over an hour of the 2 hours tonight.
Oh, I've heard that.
Is that true, Jorge?
Yeah, I think he's shirtless in the first episode for pretty much most of it.
Sweet.
he hates it when those scenes come up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because he has a diet.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I don't know if this is true. There's so much, online chatter about your show. There always has been. But can you tell me about whether there is another plane crash tonight?
Ooh.
There is not another plane crash tonight.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
Oh, you bastard.
Jorge, what?
All right. You know what? There is a plane crash tonight.
You actually just forgot?
Yeah.
You're not just pulling our legs? You actually forgot and then remembered?
It is a plane. Well, I mean, it's kind of one that is familiar.
You're not helping. Is it a flashback?
Oh, I think I.
Is it a flashback
of 8:15?
No, it's not a flashback of 8:15.
What about that little plane that crashed? Well, there's a couple of planes that are on that island.
Interesting. Yeah. Imagine how foolish we sound to people who don't watch the show, by the way.
Yeah.
Jorge, well, you're not helping, is what I'd like to say.
He's trying. Jorge is trying. It's not his fault.
I forgot about it. I mean, just because there's another plane to remember for later. But anyways, but tonight I think there is, you'll see a plane go down.
All right, how many episodes are you ahead of where we are?
We're shooting episode 11 right now.
11, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. How do you feel about this season, Jorge? Is it going to thrill us?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, this first episode I had to read a few times just to grasp some of the concepts they started throwing out at you.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's not good news for me.
I know that we've talked to we've talked to you a few times. We've talked to a bunch of your castmates, and they keep things pretty under wraps until it comes time to film them for safety and security reasons, and I understand all that. But there have to be discussions that you actors have when you're sitting around going, okay, now they're moving the island. What's this about? I mean, you guys have to just be as incredulous as the viewer is when you first see that stuff.
Yeah, as far as like what's going on with the island, in the first episode, it took a lot for me to kind of like go, okay, guys, if you say so.
Yeah.
We'll stick with it. But there's some really cool payoffs that the setup from tonight comes, in a few episodes down, and the people that show up because of it.
All right, and what are those payoffs, and who are those people?
I don't think you're going to get that.
Come on!
Hey, Jorge, are you up before 6 o'clock in the morning, or I guess before 7 o'clock in the morning, talking to us from Hawaii right now?
I am. It's still dark out.
Dude. Oh, you're the best.
What's going to happen when Lost ends? You got another season and a half to shoot. Are you going to then have to move away from Hawaii in order to continue being a working actor?
I mean, that's right now. That's what the plan is. I think I'll be coming back to L.A.
It's not going to be like a spinoff starring Hurley?
nothing that I know of yet.
All right.
We were talking earlier because, you know, everybody who visits Hawaii on vacation, and I was just there again over Christmas, they think, wow, it would be so awesome to live here. I wonder if I would like it. Do you love it, Hurley, or do you really like Jones for the mainland a bunch?
I'm happy here. I love it here. This is
really?
I stay here when we're not shooting.
Oh, you do?
And, I like the Hawaiian life. It's not for everybody.
I think it would be too slow. I mean, I love going there for a vacation, but I think without the big city and events happening and stuff like that, it would get a little boring.
I'd like to try it and see.
Yeah.
because you might get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you're on Oahu, too, which has Honolulu, which is a big city.
Yeah,
so
true.
You kind of have everything that most everything you'd want to do, you can do there, right?
Yeah, you can do a lot, for sure. It's pretty busy.
All right. Well, I don't feel like I'm much closer to understanding things. But so at 8, there's a complete recap where they kind of catch you up entirely or just as long as you were watching all of last season?
I'm not sure because I haven't seen the clip show.
Okay.
I'm guessing that it's 4 seasons worth, so I don't know. They can catch you up only so much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll probably like stick to like the big things that, you know, will have an effect on this coming season.
Like taking a shower. I hope they have that scene in there.
Oh, I hope there's more of that. Yeah. You'll have a working understanding of where the new season starts, and I think that's all you can hope for in a clip show. And then 2 hours of Lost, and then the great thing about Lost, if you do it the same way as you did last year, Jorge, is you're going to run them essentially consecutively. I mean, because you started late in the season, so we're not going to have a bunch of repeats or weeks off, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to be something along those lines. Sometimes they'll take a break here and there, maybe run another catch-up right before the finale or something.
That's fine. That's great. Well, look, we have missed your show. You know we've been talking to you since season one. You know what big fans we are. We're very excited that it's back on ABC tonight, and thanks for getting up early. It's always great to catch up with you, Jorge. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Ralph Garman joins us in the studio this morning.
You guys have to stop talking to Jorge Garcia.
Why?
Because you just embarrass me every time you do.
Why?
What happened now?
It's horrible.
What?
What didn't we
do? First time we had him on, Kevin kept calling him Jose.
That didn't happen.
To the point where Jorge Garcia had to stop and say, it's Jorge.
Right. So I made a mistake then. Right. I didn't do it today.
And now Bean is incapable of separating Jorge from the character he plays on television.
Well, I called him Hurley one time.
He's talking about what his living plans are going to be in Hawaii, and here's how it went.
We were talking earlier because, you know, everybody who visits Hawaii on vacation, and I was just there again over Christmas, they think, wow, it would be so awesome to live here. I wonder if I would like it. Do you love it, Hurley, or do you really like yes. Jones for the mainland a bunch?
I didn't even notice that.
Yes.
Hey, Hurley, how do you Hurley. Feel about it, Hurley? How does Jack feel about it? Does Ben have any good condos he can rent me there in Hawaii? You know, he's an actor, right? Just plays Hurley on television.
I understand. Look, Jorge Garcia is Hurley to me, and I didn't mean to insult the guy. I wasn't trying to be insulting. I called him Hurley. I'm sorry.
Happens.
I'd like to talk to Dr. House character. Have him on the show. Bean can no longer separate fantasy from reality when it comes to television.
I'm feeling a little sick. Maybe he could diagnose me.
I've got a rash you should look at.
I was aware of it as I said it and thought, should I say something and apologize? And I thought, why call attention to it? Because some people probably missed it.
Why apologize when you can just insult one of our guests and just let him go?
But at least if some people missed it, at least now you've brought it up so that everybody is aware of the error.
That's the beauty of this job. You get beat about the face with your mistakes.
Gotta watch each other's backs at all times. Or fronts, for that matter.
Sure.
it's the best day of the year.
What? Best day of the year?
Yeah, you see, tomorrow morning, they're going to announce the Oscar nominations. The Academy Award nominations will be announced tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And we will have them for you as soon as we get them. But that means today, the day before the Oscar nominations come out, are the nominations for the Razzies.
Razzies.
There you go.
The Golden Raspberry Awards, which are awards that honor the worst in motion pictures throughout the year. And I love them. I love them, I think, as much, if not more, than the actual Oscar nominations.
Pretty strong.
So let me give you a quick recap of who's being honored for how horrible they are. Worst picture.
Ooh, wait, let's guess if Kevin's seen the movie.
How dare you?
I think Kevin's in most of these movies. That's how bad they are.
All right, worst picture.
Disaster movie.
Saw it.
One of those horrible parody films about different disaster movies.
Okay.
I don't even know who was in this one.
Pam Anderson?
I don't think she was in this one. The Happening. M. Night Shyamalan's tour de force about plants attacking people.
Bean saw it.
I saw it on the cable or whatever. I did watch it on TV. I did not pay for it, but it was awful.
On the cable or whatever.
You didn't catch it on the internet or a satellite. I don't know what it was, but it was awful. It deserves to be on that list. That's all I'm saying.
The Hottie and the Naughty.
Oh, Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton's film. In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to see it.
That was with Jason Statham.
That was indeed.
It was?
That's right.
Yeah.
Meet the Spartans.
Oh.
Kevin.
Saw it.
Kevin.
Saw it.
And last but not least, The Love Guru. Kevin.
Saw it.
Kevin.
Kevin did see that one.
Three out of five nominees for the worst picture of the year. Kevin was sitting in a movie theater watching.
And wanted to see a fourth.
Ralph, did you? You didn't see any of this,
I saw The Happening.
You saw
only that? Because I heard so many good things about how horrible it was. It was one of those things where people said, you have to see it to believe it kind of thing.
Ralph went to a press screening and came back to us and said, you will not believe this movie. It's worse than you can imagine.
It was a stunner.
And it wasn't just horrible because it had a stupid, dorky M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong ending. The acting and the script throughout the entire movie was horrible.
Beginning to end.
Remember when you said, if you don't like it, it's
you don't get
deeper.
It. You don't get it.
It's deeper than you or
That's
whatever.
Right. Yeah, you're missing it if you don't.
Was
it
the one where they were on the train or something and like nobody was contacting them?
Yeah,
is that the one?
That's the same one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Worst director? Yui Boll. Of course, he's there every year.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's got three films nominated this year for
he's
his
that crazy
work,
German guy?
Yep. Including the Dungeon Siege tale. Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer share directing credits on Meet the Spartans and Disaster Movie. They did both of those.
Oh, good.
Tom Putnam directed The Hottie and the Naughty. Marco Schnabel directed The Love Guru. And M. Night Shyamalan for The Happening. Worst actor, Larry the Cable Guy for Witless Protection.
Oh, there you go.
Eddie Murphy for Meet Dave. Mike Myers for The Love Guru. Mike Wahlberg for The Happening and Max Payne. And Al Pacino for 88 Minutes and Righteous Kill. That hurts.
By all accounts, that was horrible, though. By all accounts,
it
wasn't
that bad. It was pretty damn bad.
It wasn't that bad.
I think the movies weren't great. I thought Righteous Kill was okay.
It was okay.
But I think Al Pacino was fine in both of those. I don't think he's certainly not the worst.
Some
actors
are better than the movie.
The material. Yeah.
And
he
Al
like
often
that.
Is. I think so too. Is the case with him. Worst actress, Jessica Alba for The Love Guru.
Yeah, she was bad.
The entire cast of The Women. Annette Bening, Eva Mendez, Deborah Messing, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Meg Ryan for The Women.
I did see that over the holidays on cable. Oh, dear God.
What a stinker, right?
Cameron Diaz for What Happens in Vegas, Paris Hilton for The Hottie and the Naughty, and Kate Hudson for Fool's Gold and My Best Friend's Girl.
Which she deserves.
Which she deserves.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's not a good actress, by the way.
Mm-mm.
Kate Hudson.
Worst supporting actor, Vern Troyer for Love Guru. Burt Reynolds for Deal and In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale. Apparently he was in that as well. Ben Kingsley for The Love Guru,
yeah,
War Incorporated, and The Wackness. Pierce Brosnan for Mamma Mia. And Uwe Boll apparently starred in one of his own films, Uwe Boll's Postal. He was in that as well. And worst supporting actress, Carmen Electra for Disaster Movie and Meet the Spartans. Paris Hilton for Repo, The Genetic Opera.
I've never heard of that.
Genetic Opera.
Kim Kardashian for Disaster Movie.
Glendale.
Lily Sobieski for 88 Minutes. She was pretty horrible in that. And In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale. I have no idea.
It's tainted everybody.
Why everyone
it.
Was in this film.
Wow.
But, and lastly, Jenny McCarthy for Witless Protection with Larry the Cable Guy. So there are
was
your...
Was Witless Protection not one of the worst five movies?
Yeah,
nominated.
It didn't make it for Worst
Come
Picture.
On.
How is that possible? And this year they're giving the Worst Career Achievement Award to Uwe Boll. Germany's Good. Answer to Ed Wood. He will receive a special Lifetime Achievement Award this year. So those
How
are
much
your
overlap
Razzies
will there be between the Razzies and the Oscars this year, do you think, Ralph?
I think zero. Zero overlap.
Yeah, probably none.
I don't think you'll see Larry the Cable Guy being nominated for anything come tomorrow morning.
I have to tell you, though, early in the year, I think we all expected that Valkyrie would end up getting Tom Cruise a Razzie nomination. But by all accounts, he surprised people with how good he is and
Who
how good the movie
thunk?
Is.
It's a pretty good movie.
I thought that was pretty good.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Gina Davis is 53 years old today. Singer Cat Power is 37. That's like a superhero. Baby Spice, Spice Girl Emma Bunton celebrates her 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
43rd, by the way.
33rd.
I want to thank all of our special guests on today's show, including Jay Cox Moore. You can see him on Gary Unmarried tonight at 8:30 on CBS. Also, he's appearing on stage at the Improv at the Irvine Spectrum Thursday through Sunday. Go to improv.com for details. Also, thanks to Jorge Hurley Garcia for joining us. Lost is on tonight with an all-new episode at 9 o'clock on ABC. And thanks to Andy Puzder, the CEO of Carl's Jr., who off-air, we asked him to slip us a phone number. Just to hook us up with Tamara Brown. We're trying to get the chick from the commercial, but we're still working on it.
So hot.
Yeah. This afternoon, 5 o'clock, Tom Cruise hated Hitler.
What?
You aware of that?
He is just, he's got a lot of guts. He will go out there on any,
right on a limb.
Any position, no matter how controversial.
Plus, we're going to talk to Clipper Darryl. About how things are going for them.
So. Isn't tonight the big Clippers-Lakers rivalry
Clipper
continues?
Lakers, yes, that is tonight, along with Lost. So tomorrow morning we have TV Guide West Coast editor talking about Lost. We have American Idol highlights. She got through. They said yes to that.
Just barely, though. Just barely.
Wow.
We're going to see her again, though, is the point of that wrong-headed decision.
She's crazy.
Wow. She is crazy. Yeah, and she's not nearly as hot as she thinks she is she, Ralph?
Oh, no.
But Kat Corbett is, and she's next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including STP. Also, Weezer, the new one from Carolina Liar, Smashing Pumpkins, and more next on
Tom Cruise was trying to push his new film, Valkyrie, which actually ended up being pretty good. I went to see it just because Tom Cruise had an eye patch, and I found that quite funny. It was pretty well done, I thought.
I heard it was.
But he was promoting it in, I don't know, South Korea or someplace, and he was saying that he really hated Hitler when he was a kid. Tom Cruise really hated Hitler. And really wanted to kill him.
No kidding.
And he thought, why didn't somebody stand up to Hitler?
Uh-huh.
By the way, which happened 17, 18 years before Tom Cruise was born.
Yeah. Is that why he did the movie? Is because he wanted to live out his fantasy of killing Hitler?
That's what he was saying.
Well, then he didn't read the end of the script because it didn't work.
Yeah, he missed, unfortunately. But we've got him on the line. Tom?
I hate Hitler.
Tom, is this just...
Very good.
Well, we're fine. Thank you very much. Is this just a story that you made up to promote Valkyrie because you knew it would get attention if you kicked... What? I'm just saying, everybody hates Hitler. What?
Don't be glib.
But he was dead long before you were born.
I know, but when I would read about the atrocities that were committed in Hitler's name,
right.
It would make me furious. I would just sit in my bedroom as a young man, just furious at Hitler, and just wishing that I could have stopped Hitler.
Right, but you couldn't because you weren't born yet, and everybody hates Hitler, so I just don't know why you go around now saying, oh, by the way, I hate Hitler. It just kind of goes without saying, doesn't it?
Because I hate Hitler more than anyone else hates Hitler.
Well, I don't think that's true. Probably people who are Jewish hate him more than you. Yes? Yes, Tom. Yes, Tom.
Tom?
The Jews don't have a monopoly on hating Hitler.
Well, no, but
I hate Hitler. Okay. I hate him, and I wanted to kill him. I wanted to go back in time and kill him.
Okay.
Okay,
but there
are hours and hours and hours just sitting in my bedroom staring at the wall, imagining myself killing Hitler. I hated
Hitler. That's not a fun childhood at all, is it, Tom?
I'm going to say that didn't happen.
When other kids were playing cowboys and Indians, I was playing Hitler and resistance member.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
That was not happening,
I hated
Tom.
Hitler. I spent most of my youth hating historical moments, wishing I could change them.
Other ones besides Hitler?
Oh, I hated Hitler.
Uh-huh.
And I really hated President Warren G. Harding.
You did?
Wish I could travel back and stop the whole Teapot Dome scandal.
Well,
when Warren G. Harding was bribed trying to get oil fields pumped on public land in the state of Wyoming.
I don't know.
Oh,
quite a scandal. Anything about
that? I hated Teapot Dome.
You did.
I hate Teapot Dome scandal.
More or less than you hate Hitler.
Same amount.
Same.
Now, Tom, does this have anything to do with the thing that you've talked about in Scientology before, where you are called upon to serve? You have to be the one person who can stop bad things from happening, and that's why you wish you'd been at all these key points in history?
Yes, because if I was there, I would have done something. I would have taken a stand. That's why I hate Julius Caesar. Oh, I hate Julius Caesar. I would have taken a stand when he tried to form the unofficial triumvirate between Marcus Crassus and Gnaeus Magnus.
Well, I think we all have that regret.
I mean, everyone opposed it in the Roman Senate.
Sure.
You know, Marcus Cato and Marcus Bibulus. But I would have taken a stand and stopped it from happening. And I would have stopped him from invading Gaul in 55 B.C. God, I hated Julius Caesar. Hate him.
Did you hate him as a child? Is that how you spent part of your youth?
Yes. I would put a wreath of leaves in my head and pretend to be a righteous Julius Caesar who would do the right thing.
Wow.
I hated him.
You're honked up, Tom.
I hated King Louis XIV of France, too.
I would have
taken a stand before the War of the League of Augsburg, where he tried to expand the French Empire in the 17th century by declaring war on Europe and parts of Ireland and North America. I would have taken a stand against his combination of aggression and annexation. I would have said, no, King Louis XIV, I hate you, and I would have stopped him.
Tom, you're not going to have to make movies about all these like you did with Valkyrie, are you?
Yes, I'm working on a film now where I play a French resistance member who tries to stop King Louis XIV from annexing parts of Europe.
Do you have an eye patch?
No, but I have a big, long mustache that curls up on the ends.
Oh, that's good.
And I hate Larry the Cable Guy. I wish I could have gone back and passed and stopped from making Delta farce.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin Abean Cinco de la Tarde, which of course means the 5th of Tard.
And your chance to qualify to see U2 in London coming up in a few minutes. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday afternoon. Why is Dave the King of Mexico in here? We don't need him for this.
Well, Dave has joined us in the studio because tonight there's a basketball game between a professional team.
The Clippers.
Los Angeles Lakers.
Clippers.
Right. And their understudies, the Clippers.
The Laker era is over.
That's right.
That's what I hear.
That's what Clipper Darryl says.
That was Clipper Darryl.
Darryl, good afternoon. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you very much for having me again.
It seems like a long time ago since the beginning of the season, and maybe it feels that way to you, too, as a Clippers fan. Rough year, dude.
Yeah, it's been rough on us. It's been very, very, very rough on us this year.
Yeah. I've always said that the Clipper fans deserve a better team. Actually, a better owner. It's really just the owner that it's about for me.
Because they're very dedicated.
He's a terrible owner, and you're a good fan.
Yeah.
And that's not right.
I feel Donald Sterling is a good owner.
Based on what? I mean, honestly.
Hey, he's a good businessman.
Well, he's making money. He is making money. You're right about that. Clipper Darryl, by the way, is number one Clipper fan. He is a fixture at all the games. He's at ClipperDarryl.com, and he is on today supporting a team that has lost, am I right about this, Darryl, 13 of their last 14 games.
Yes, sir.
But, Bean, we were close the last game. We had them. Sure, of course. Hey, Darryl, you remember calling us at the beginning of the season and telling us that the Laker era was over?
I don't remember that one.
Well, we have it. We'll play it for you.
The Laker era is over.
All right. That was you at the beginning of the season. Now that the Lakers are 32-8, how do you think that's going?
Y'all still haven't been tested yet.
Haven't been tested.
You know, even though
Cleveland, dude.
Okay.
All right. and the Lakers beat the Celtics last month,
as well.
Too.
Yeah, but how about the Magic?
Well, you can't win them all, Dave. The Clippers can't win any of them.
We're definitely injury-prone right now.
You are, but all teams kind of have to fight that and don't go 9-31, Clipper
They
Darryl.
Do when they lose their starting lineup, though, man. We're down three starters right now, possibly four.
Mathematically, we're still in the playoff race,
so
I'm not giving up.
That's right, Darryl. We're only 15 back out of the eighth spot, so I still have high hopes.
You're 15 games.
15 in the loss column.
Out of the eighth spot.
Easy run. 8-0 run. We're good. We're in the playoffs.
Exactly, exactly. Mathematically, we're definitely not out of it. You know, so I got to believe in my team.
Wow.
And tonight is going to be our test too.
Against the Lakers.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that. You know the Clippers better than any fan. Do the Clippers get up for a game against the Lakers, or do they just look at it as, well, there's another guaranteed loss?
You know, a Laker-Clipper rivalry is always there. I don't care what the records are. You know, it's always hype. It's always fun, and the atmosphere is always good to be in.
Coach Jackson tells the Lakers, listen, guys, I know it's only the Clippers, but you got to at least put out like 10% energy. At least 10%.
Come on now, man. We're not bad, but we're not a terrible team.
I'm sorry, are you 9-31?
But that don't make us terrible, though.
Well, what does? Wait a minute. How do you rank terribleness then?
I just think if Sterling moved Dunleavy to the GM spot, brought in a new voice, I think we could be a better squad.
9-31.
Look, man, you're just hating.
I am, but no, I'm not.
What am I always saying, Kevin? What am I always saying about the Clippers?
Clippers going to be all right?
Yeah. Ben brings the O. Kevin brings the D. Can't go wrong with fans like me. That's right. That's right. Clippers going to be all right. Yeah. Staples Center's rocking. Everybody's talking. Celebrities are flocking to the team in red, white, and blue. Los Angeles, this team's for you. Yeah. If you play loud, we'll cheer loud. Together we'll be playoff bound. That's right, that's right. I said the Clippers gonna be alright, alright. Yeah. Baron brings the O. Cammy brings the D. Can't go wrong with fans like me. That's right, that's right. Clippers gonna be alright. Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
We got a winner. Somebody just won the brand new U2 CD called No Line on the Horizon, coming out in March. Of course, you've been hearing the first song here on K-Rock, that song about putting your boots on. We've been playing that. Anyway, the winner is qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show to maybe go see U2 in London at the Brit Awards. Your chance to win coming up Wednesday afternoon. Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Just last week, Amy Winehouse told reporters that she has no intention of divorcing her husband.
Right.
What?
However, she did add, and I'm not kidding, she does plan on having fun while the old man's in the clink.
Asshole.
And apparently she meant it. She is still living in her temporary home at that resort in St. Lucia.
That's Bahamas?
That's Bahamas.
Yeah. They have to be
miserable.
Oh, how tired are they of her?
She's been there like a month.
Crawling around.
Ready for her to leave.
Stealing drinks from people's tables.
Oh, my God.
But she has a new boyfriend.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about Josh Bowman, the former rugby player, the good-looking, clean-cut guy she was palling around with earlier. She's got a new boyfriend there on the island.
Okay.
Okay.
He is also clean-cut, handsome, and wealthy, just like Josh.
What's he doing with her, then?
Just can't resist her. She's so beautiful.
Man.
She's so charming. And she can outspit any woman on the island.
That's true.
She can hock a loogie like nobody's business. Apparently, she's made a lot of friends on the island, however, because she's very generous as a host at the hotel bar.
Ah, she buys drinks?
The other night, in buying drinks for herself, her immediate party, and everyone else at the bar, she racked up a tab of, wait for it, $14,000.
Ah! How's that possible?
That is Kevin Ryder type bar spending.
It is.
That is his kind.
I don't think I've ever spent $14,000 in one night.
As far as you know, you don't know what you spend.
That's
true.
Except in the champagne room.
You just hand over a credit card, and then the wife gets the bill at the end of the month.
$14,000 in one night.
Yeah.
That's a lot of alcohol.
Must have been bottles and bottles of Dom or Cristal or something like that. She must have been buying champagne.
She's going to go through all her money really fast.
She hasn't already.
I don't know how she hasn't already.
I know.
Yeah, she's not exactly out there touring to make up the money, and sales have got to dropped off on that album.
Got to be. Another in our cavalcade of winners, Denise Richards, apparently upset. She's got her reality TV show, you know.
Yeah, it's a bad one.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Terrible show.
That's not a good show.
And she recently took the cameras from E's Entertainment Network to the Sundance Film Festival while she visited there. Okay. So they could get footage of her hobnobbing with lots of her Hollywood-type friends. However, no one would agree to go on camera with her. The final straw was she was given a polite thanks, but no thanks by Pierce Brosnan, her former co-star in the James Bond movie.
Ouch.
When she invited him to appear on the show, he said, no, not so much.
Yeah, not so much.
I thought that show was canceled.
Well, apparently they're still...
Wow.
How embarrassing that they went all the way there, you know, promising celebs and all that, and then they couldn't do it.
Now they have shots of her walking in the snow, pretty much. That's about it.
Wow.
When is modern science going to find a cure for a woman's mouth?
Good question. Earlier this morning, the Razzie nominations were released. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, the Golden Raspberry Award is the answer to the Oscars. Whereas the Oscars celebrate the best in motion pictures, the Razzies talk about the worst in films. And this year, here are some of your nominees. For Worst Motion Picture, Disaster Movie was nominated, along with The Happening from M. Night Shyamalan, The Hottie and the Naughty, In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege Tale, The Love Guru, and Meet the Spartans, rounding out your
That is a lot of bad right there, and I saw most of them.
Director Uwe Boll had quite the year. He's nominated for Worst Director for three different films. 1968, Tunnel Rats. Missed that one. In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege Tale, and The Postal.
Now, Ralph, refresh my memory. Isn't Mr. Boll the guy we had on, the director who wanted to box critics of his films?
Yeah, he said he will fight any critic who doesn't like his movies.
Okay.
Which I think will turn the critics right around.
Right around, yeah. Hit him in the face a couple times, I'll like your movie.
The directors for Meet the Spartans and Disaster Movie were also nominated. Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer. Tom Putnam, who directed The Hottie and the Naughty. Marco Schnabel, who directed The Love Guru. Like, that's his real name. You know his name's like Fred Smith or something, and he saw the film and said, could you put my name on this as Marco Schnabel, please?
A.K.A.
And M. Night Shyamalan for The Happening. Well-deserved. Worst Actor, Larry the Cable Guy for Witless Protection, Eddie Murphy for Meet Dave, Mike Myers for The Love Guru, Mark Wahlberg for The Happening, and Max Payne, Say Hello to Your Mother, and Al Pacino for 88 Minutes and Righteous Kill, which I think is unfair.
That's ridiculous.
Because I thought both those films were not his greatest work, but both were completely watchable, and he was pretty good in both.
He's always fine.
Except for his hair in 88 Minutes was out of control.
Kind
of
crazy, yeah.
Al needs a groom.
He does.
He needs to be groomed.
Take him to a vet.
Worst actress. Come on, clip his nails and shampoo him. Jessica Alba for her role in The Eye and in Love Guru. It's a twofer there.
Remember The Eye, where she got the donation of somebody else's eye, and then
it was an evil eye.
It was an evil eye, so she became evil.
She started seeing things. Cameron Diaz for What Happens in Vegas. Paris Hilton for The Hottie and the Naughty. Kate Hudson for Fool's Gold and My Best Friend's Girl.
Woo-hoo.
And the entire cast of The Women, Annette Bening, Eva Mendes, Deborah Messing, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, some of those women are good actresses. Annette Bening is good. Jada Pinkett is good. In this movie, I thought, what happened to them?
Really?
They were just so awful.
Yeah. Why'd you see it?
They were as bad as the movie.
Why did you see it?
It's the law.
I was completely out of
stuff. It is the law.
You have a uterus, you have to see the women.
Didn't know that.
It's the law.
Well, it's a great cast, and it's a remake of a fantastic movie. Who would have ever expected it would be as bad as it was?
Not that bad. I never thought that.
Saw it in the trailer.
Kevin could tell from the trailer it was bad.
Yes, Love Guru
and that's
Boy.
Saying something.
And I don't have taste
from,
at all.
From Paul Blart, radio cop over there. Worst actor supporting, Uwe Boll. His role in his own film, Uwe Boll's Postal. He's put his own name as director on these films now. That's what's the best part.
Yeah, that is good.
From the man who brought you a Dungeon Siege Tale comes Postal. Uwe Boll's Postal. Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia was also nominated. Ben Kingsley for his work in The Love Guru, War Incorporated, and The Wackness. Burt Reynolds for Deal and In the Name of the King. Vern Troyer for Love Guru and Uwe Boll's Postal. Vern Troyer was in that as
well. Wow.
We're supporting actress Carmen Electra for Disaster Movie and Meet the Spartans. Paris Hilton for Repo, the genetic opera. I did a little research on that because we talked about it this morning. We didn't know really what that was. It apparently is a high-end, high-concept comedy about people who pay for organ transplants, and if they cannot fulfill the terms of their loan arrangement with the
they
company.
Take them back.
They repossess their organs.
Yes. Awesome. That sounds like it could be good, if in the right hands.
Kim Kardashian for Disaster Movie, McCarthy for Witless Protection, and Lily Sobieski for 88 Minutes, and In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege Tale.
Good year for her.
That one seems to have tainted everyone in Hollywood.
Yeah. So there are your nominees, some of the nominees for the Razzies this year.
So does this mean if Razzies are today, that first thing tomorrow morning, Ralph, we'll have Oscar nominations to look
at? That's how it works. Tomorrow morning we'll know who's nominated for what in the Oscars. So tune in tomorrow morning at the Showbiz Beat, and I will give you all the latest and greatest in Oscar news. I'm imagining Heath Ledger's name will be there for supporting actor.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Gina Davis turns 53 today. Kat Power turns 37, and the littlest Spice, Emma Bunton, Baby Spice from the Spice Girls. She is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
I think she about to pull something out of her pants.
Oh, I don't think that's likely
not
at all.
Baby Spice.
Come on. I want to thank our friend Clipper Darrell for keeping the faith all these years for his team. Of course, the Clippers are in action tonight against the Lakers at 7:30, and you can see Clipper Darrell's website and his awesome Clippers car at clipperdarrell.com.
Don't forget, Lost is on tonight as well. Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to TV Guide West Coast editor Maggie Furlong about that program, try to figure out what's going on it.
Okay.
See, this is great. I'm glad we're thinking ahead, because generally we watch Lost and we come in the next day and we're going like, what did we just see? I'm so confused. Now we've got somebody we can ask those questions of.
Also tomorrow morning, what do you do if your friend's mom hits on you?
Nail it.
Nail it is the answer.
Yeah.
And we've got some more highlights from American Idol tomorrow morning.
Yay.
Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
She did not get put through to Hollywood, by the way.
Shocking.
We need to talk to people who have tried out for American Idol and who know they're that bad. Because I think most of those people, I mean, they can't really hear a good song, can they? Do you think they all, like...
think they're good?
Like, they can't.
I don't know. I can't. You watch these people, you can't imagine what makes them go down and wait in line for all those hours for their 30 seconds in front of the judge. When they sound like that, they have to know they're bad.
I think for some people, it is just the 30 seconds. They want someone to pay attention to them.
No for any reason.
Good, bad, or indifferent. They want famous people from the television that they've seen to have to look at them and acknowledge them
but
as human beings.
But they don't think, I should be making this. I
should
win.
Some of them do, though.
Well, a few. I would say a few do. But
I think some are just, it's a desperate cry for attention. They have to go down there and be noticed.
Tatiana from last night's show, is that what's going on with you?
Wow.
Thank you.
60 minutes of zero commercials with Nicole Alvarez coming up next, including Metallica, also the latest from Weezer. We got Killers, Bad Religion, and more next after this on K-Rock.